from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
One, two,
Roz
and Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
Amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show. Podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Ali.
Ali, what's going on, dude?
I was calling because I had this drink, and all my friends always never seem to understand it. So I wanted to get your opinions on it.
Okay.
It might sound weird, but hear me out. So I grew up drinking it. I say it's the most refreshing thing ever. It's 3/4 milk, 1/4 Sprite.
3/4 milk, 1/4 Sprite.
That sounds disgusting.
It's like a fizzy milk, but it doesn't like curdle or anything. It's like ice.
And do you like, you just sip on that?
You just drink it like it's a regular glass of milk.
Oh, see, I don't sit around drinking milk anyway, so.
Wow, so like, oh yeah. See?
Well, wait, so do you get the carbonation? Does it cause you to burp? And when you burp, it's like burpy milk?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, I can't burp milk, dude.
Yeah, Ollie, that's gross.
That's
not
gross.
Not it, by the way.
Not it. Not it.
Too bad.
Hell no.
You and Lori got to do it.
I can't drink milk. I don't
Why
drink
not?
Milk. I never drink milk. Never. I never drink milk. I haven't had a glass of milk since I was about 10.
Come on.
Maury, go get Sprite and milk.
When I say not it, then you two have to do it.
No.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey, okay, let me ask you a question. While they're still, do you drink this out of a cup or through a straw?
No, it's out of a cup. Like you
no, but like, do you sip it?
You actually like take a gulp of it. Like you actually drink it.
Ew, gulps so of gross. Milk and Sprite?
So gross.
Yeah.
Okay, Ali, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hang up with you. We're going to play a song. Dan and Maury's going to go downstairs and get milk and Sprite. And Roz and Dan and Maury are going to drink it. Are going to gulp it.
No, I'm not gulping. First of all, don't use Roz, Maury, and gulp in the same sentence. Okay, bro?
Okay,
my family listens to this show.
Try and get it 2 ice cubes. I'm driving to school right now, so I really hope I get to hear this before I get to class.
No, we're not going to get 2 ice cubes, dude.
All right, thanks, Ali.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't want to do this. So, okay, welcome back.
I said not it.
I know. I don't know.
Man.
I don't even remember the guy's name that called in. But he had said that growing up, they would drink milk with Sprite.
Yeah. 3/4 glass of milk topped up with Sprite.
Separately, they're fantastic.
Sure.
I said not it.
I know.
But here I am, sitting with Dan and Maury.
I know.
I'm always the trooper.
Right, you are. Yeah, you're a gamer, Maury. You're a gamer. Can I tell you something also? When I see I know that this is not the case, so please don't come at me, bro.
Yeah.
Okay?
At Roz Weston, by the way.
But when I see a grown man drinking a glass of milk like a grown man, I look at it, I feel that he has mother issues. I feel that like there's some sort of arrested development where he's hanging on to some sort of childhood thing that he can't fully develop into a man because of that. And so there's that. I don't drink milk because of it.
But athletes drink milk.
I see a grown man drinking milk. It's a sign of weakness to me.
Sometimes it's refreshing.
Right?
Sometimes.
I don't know. No, I can't do it. So
I have the product.
So you have this here. Maury went downstairs
and got lactose free in case one of us is lactating.
Oh, look at that. Very good. That's not what that means, by the way, Maury.
I assumed it did.
Okay, so you guys are going to try this, right?
Yeah.
Mocha, do you drink milk?
Like in my coffee and stuff, but I won't sit there and drink like a glass of milk.
You won't have like
on its own.
Big bowl of spaghetti with a glass of milk.
No.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like it tastes good together.
All right.
I'm on the same boat as you, by the way. I haven't had milk, like a glass of milk, in like 2 years.
Okay.
Okay, can I also point out the fact that the milk, I don't know where downstairs you got this milk.
Yeah.
Definitely was not in the fridge. It feels like it was behind the fridge because it is warm.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Warm.
Milk.
Okay, so warm milk and Sprite.
By the way, the Sprite, too, is warm.
Okay. So, man, what were those?
Oh, man. then, yeah.
The Sprite's warm?
It's like you left the Sprite out on the sidewalk or something.
So it's warm milk and Sprite.
Okay.
Okay. Yum. So, Mocha, you know the measurements, right?
Yeah.
Wait a sec. Okay, there you go. Now, okay. Keep in mind, you only have one can of Sprite here, right? So don't go.
Oh, right.
Don't go willy nilly with the milk.
Okay, so I'm gonna pour more of the milk.
You got way more milk than you do Sprite. Okay.
That smell.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So Mocha has now evenly poured. They have like clear solo size cups,
okay. And
the milk is already in the cup. Now in goes the Sprite.
Oof.
This is not gonna go well.
Okay.
It's not curdling.
No, it doesn't curdle.
Okay, so there.
Yeah.
That's for you, damn it, Maury.
Okay.
Ew, it smells like a fart.
Now, if you remember,
it really does.
The guy that called in,
yeah,
he didn't say he would sip on it. He said we had to gulp.
They had to gulp.
He
in.
Would take gulps of milk and Sprite.
Okay, hold on.
So
are you guys going together or are you going to do separatesies?
I think it needs to be separatesies.
Okay, honestly?
Yeah. So it's milk and Sprite.
Honestly,
yeah.
It kind of smells like my kid's diaper.
So like a fart.
What did I say?
Yeah,
really?
It really does.
Let me smell that. Hold on. Let me get my nose in. Let me get my nose in there. Oh,
a little bit,
yeah,
like
it does.
Diaper, right?
It smells a little diapery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who's going to go first?
Should we just do it together?
Cheers.
Okay.
But yeah. But it has to be a gulp.
Yeah.
I'll gulp.
Okay.
You have to monitor him. Make sure he doesn't take a sip.
Okay.
Okay.
Maury, you know the deal with this, right? Okay. So this is by requests. Okay. Milk and Sprite.
Cheers.
Go for it. Bottoms
Cheers.
Up, gentlemen. Gulp. Like, there's no reaction so far. There's no reaction. Don't tell me it's good. Don't tell me that's good.
It's kind of good.
Don't tell me that's good.
It's not bad.
Don't tell me that's good.
I'm not going to lie. Milk with Sprite, it's not bad. Dude, you want a taste?
First of all, somebody going, hey, milk and Sprite, that's not bad, may be the most white trash thing I've ever heard. And I'm from Acton.
Yo, okay? You want to try it?
No.
A sip.
No.
Here, I didn't like from here.
Oh, God, Maury.
It's actually
Maury, don't ever hand me anything ever again. Looking to share with me saying, don't worry, I didn't lick it here.
Dude, this is fantastic. I may have a new favorite beverage.
Are you kidding me?
It's actually pretty good.
It's good?
Despite the fact it smells like diaper, milk, and Sprite, it's actually pretty good.
Also, look at how disgusting the sides of those cups are. Mm. You guys are good. That's fourth sips for you. I can't believe what I'm watching right now. I really can't. You both finished it. Wow, I thought this was going to be right up there on top of the grossest things you guys have ever done.
No, this is actually really
milk.
Good. Yeah, milk and Sprite.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
We may have
good.
Problems.
Okay, well, there we go. So this, by request, was the first one that didn't make one of you guys want to vomit.
Yeah.
So let's put this in the win column. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, okay, so everything else we've ever done on this show, horrid.
Yeah, disgusting.
But somehow in the not too bad column, we have milk and Sprite.
Yeah, for the win.
Do you want more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, I could sure go for a nice tall glass of warm milk and warm Sprite again.
Dude, I'm just looking on Twitter right now and somebody named Beef Chief just sent us a picture.
Beef Chief?
Yeah. Somebody just sent us a picture of their kitchen table where they have two glasses of milk and a can of Sprite ready to go. Being like they got to try this.
Wow, Beef Chief.
I think it was even better.
I think it was better being warm.
Yeah. So that was by request when you guys had tried Sprite and milk. And it sounds disgusting, but the shocking truth of it is both you and Maury loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
Sprite
I was surprised.
And milk.
I was surprised by how much I enjoyed that drink.
It tasted like carbonated yogurt.
That's okay. like you put yogurt under the soda stream and just pop bubbles into it.
Okay. Like, now that sounds gross.
That's
not
so
it.
So gross.
Not it.
Oh, hi. My name's Asha.
What's up, Asha? How are you?
Oh my God. I can't believe I got onto you guys. Oh my God. This is incredible. First of all, I love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
This is in regards to the milk and Sprite thingy. So I'm from Guyana, and we actually, growing up as a child, we drink, you know, the carnation milk with cream soda.
Yeah. My folks are Guyanese as well, and they did the exact same thing.
So you drink milk and cream soda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carnation milk.
What's carnation milk?
It's the condensed milk.
You know the one in the can?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You pour that in cream soda?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It acts, that's really? Good.
It yeah. tastes like a milkshake, I guess, yeah. right?
Oh, yeah. Fizzy.
It's,
mm.
it's amazing.
So delicious.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
Somebody else, Asha, somebody else tweeted the exact same thing. A guy named Roberto. Rob, oh. who listens to the show, he said the exact same thing about carnation milk and cream huh, soda.
Interesting. Never heard of that before.
You should try it.
Product in the Philippines, Milkis, where it's already mixed for you in a big jug.
Milkis?
That's from where?
From the Philippines?
Milkis.
Milkis?
That sounds disgusting.
That's what it says on the label, but when Rod says it, it sounds like a disease.
Thanks, Asha.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha, a.k.a. Milk and Sprite. What's up?
Hey, so I know you said it's like the grossest thing you've ever heard, this concoction of milk and Sprite.
It sounds gross, but apparently the guys say it was delicious.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay, so there's actually a drink that they sell in Korea called Milkis, and it's a milk soda. And I can only imagine it tastes like that.
We oh. were just talking about Milkis.
Yeah, so Maury, when you said they sell this in the Philippines, somebody do you said, mean Korea?
Somebody said Philippines. I guess more than one place. Somebody oh, okay. said Philippines. Yeah. yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, it's originated from Korea, I think. That's where I found it.
Oh, okay.
And you mix it with soju, and it's like the best cocktail ever.
Oh, damn. That's
what's
your name?
Crazy. Wow.
Denise.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, no worries.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just want to say you're fabulous. You guys are honestly awesome. But
thank
your
you.
Coke, your Sprite and milk, I used to have Coke and milk. It's awesome as a kid.
Coke and milk?
It's delicious.
So you grew up in a trailer, huh?
This was my parents' idea of like a treat. It was delicious.
Really, huh?
Wow, Coke Jeez. And milk.
I'm telling you, it's awesome.
I bet you can name 10 different games to play as a kid that involves one spare tire.
This is why I love you. This is why I love you guys.
What is your name?
Natasha.
Natasha, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Thank you for being awesome.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Let me read you this headline here. Men who speak faster have better love lives and have more and have twice as many partners compared to men who speak slower, according really? To research. A study has revealed that talking faster helps men woo women more successfully. Woo.
Why? Because the women can't understand what they're saying?
I don't know. So research discovered
super fast, smooth talker?
No, it's about confidence. So research discovered that confident men who are rapid-fire conversationalists are smooth-talking their way into women's lives over their slower-talking rivals. Academics asked 124 heterosexual volunteers, 68 women and 56 men, to take part in a dating game. And what they found was that the fastest speaking men in the competition hit a rate of 6.47 syllables per second without pause, and they proved to be more experienced lovers. Oh. Having four partners in the past year, they said, while women with less breathy voices and shorter speech duration had fewer partners compared to the more breathy woman. So, Maury, come in here for a second. I had Maury prepare what he would do in a sort of round table, like speed dating type situation.
Okay.
And I've broken it all down line by line, how many syllables in total and how long it should take Maury in order to be successful at reading this. So, Maury, you understand syllables, first of all, correct?
The clapping thing.
Yep.
Okay, so Maury,
let me roll up my sleeves.
Yeah, roll up your sleeves. So Maury, this is your sort of introduction. Say if you were to do a speed dating thing,
right?
This is your introduction. Mocha, would you like to time this?
Would I?
Okay. So Maury, you just want to let's get a handle on syllables here first. So Maury, give us the first couple of lines and count syllables.
First, read it, then count it.
No.
Okay. Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto.
Okay, now count syllables while doing that.
Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. Okay, was anyone counting?
Yeah, it's nine. Go ahead.
Okay. I was born in...
Excuse me?
Hold on, what?
I was born two.
two.
Born is one syllable.
Born.
Say it again.
Born.
Okay.
Now born. Say it without clapping.
Born.
Right.
Now with clapping.
Born.
Okay. Without clapping?
Born.
With clapping?
Born.
Okay.
Well,
born is one syllable. Okay. Let's like just go
born?
With that. Yes, correct.
Wrong. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto.
Yeah, this is going to work for you. Okay, so the
you're
whole
thing with all that clapping.
You're okay. Going to pick up so many dudes.
So line one. Line one is 9 syllables. Line two is 14 syllables, just so you know, Mocha. Line three is 21 syllables,
oh
then 23
God.
Syllables, then 30 syllables. Then we finish it off with line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, which is 19 syllables. The way that this works is they say that men have to speak 6.47 syllables per second, so we'll round that up to 6.5. In total, Maury has 116 syllables to get to, which means, Maury, you have to read this entire passage in 17 seconds. And remember,
yeah, but how do you do
and
that
remember,
with the
and remember, make it sexy.
Oh my God.
Remember what the intent for is.
Am I starting
this.
From the top?
Okay, so Mocha, if you want to count Maury in here, if you have the stopwatch.
Am I also counting syllables?
If you would like, yes.
So clapping too.
And also, just in case you're joining us, so they say that men who speak faster have better love lives and have had twice as many partners compared to their rivals who speak slower. They said that the average guy who is in the upper echelon of sexiness speaks 6.47 syllables per second without pause. So Maury, this is you. On fantasy speed dating here. Give us your full introduction. Mocha's going to time you. Again, 17 seconds to complete this.
With claps.
Yes, sure.
Ready?
Yeah.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto. I'm currently 40 years young and married happily to my husband, Matthew. I love to man watch on the beach in the summer with a nice cider and a package of dried figs. My favorite part of a guy's body is the shoulder and the shins. I love to be chest tickled or tickled on my arm. Nothing makes me happier than a sitting back with a bowl of popcorn or cheese.
Okay, so how long was that?
That was 30 seconds.
Okay, Maury, you got to do all of this in 17 okay. seconds.
Remember, hello, my name
remember,
is Maury
remember,
Sherman.
Make it sexy.
Hello, my name is Maury
no,
Sherman.
No, stop. Okay. Hold on. I got to count you in, bro.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Getting too excited. Ready? In yeah. 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto. I'm currently 40 years young.
Can you pause for one second?
Married.
Can I just say that on your script, Maury, here, you wrote 40 years young, Y-O-N-G-E?
Young.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
I'm currently 40.
Oh, now you gotta start again.
Okay. Jesus.
Ready?
Try, yeah. try it one time without the claps.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, just without sure. the claps. Super yeah. fast.
Super fast.
I don't know how you're gonna count the syllables.
I know what they are. Go ahead.
Ready? In 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto. I'm currently 40 years young and married happily to my husband, Matthew. I love to man watch on the beach in the summer with a nice cider and a package of dried figs. My favorite part of a guy's body is his shoulders and shins. I love to be chest tickled or tickled on my own arm. Nothing makes me happier than sitting back with a bowl of popcorn or cheese.
Okay, how long was that?
27 seconds.
27 seconds. Maury, you're going to have 10 seconds off it. 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto. I'm currently 40 years young and married happily to my husband, Matthew. I love to man watch on the beach in the summer with a nice cider and a package of figs. My favorite part of a guy's body is his shoulders and shins. I love to be chesticled or tickling my own arm. Nothing makes me happier than sitting back with a bowl of popcorn or cheese.
How long was that? How long was that?
You still, you close.
How long was that? Can you?
That was 18.3 seconds.
Okay, but keep in mind, this is what science says. This, according to the study, this is how fast guys talk who are most successful with partners.
Maybe
this
they're using smaller
fast.
Words. Like they're not using words like shoulder.
They're doing 6.47 syllables per second. Last chance, Maury.
Okay.
Okay, ready? In yeah. 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, my name is Maury Sherman. I was born in Toronto. I still live in Toronto. I'm currently 40 years young and married happily to my husband, Matthew. I love to man watch on the beach in the summer with a nice cider and a package of dried figs. My favorite part of a guy's body is your shoulder and chins. I love to be chest tickled or tickle my own arms. Nothing makes me happier than sitting back with a bowl of popcorn or cheese.
Oh! Yo, you got 14.34 seconds.
Oh, dating, here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brandon.
What's up, Brandon? How are you, man?
Good, 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 good. Hey, we got Maury in the room.
He can be here.
Maury, you're needed.
We need some clarification from Maury.
Okay. What's up, Brandon?
Okay, so we were talking about his speed dating.
Yeah.
We need some clarification from the speed dating attempt. I know what a testicle is, Maury, but what's a chesticle?
Chest tickle. Like when you raise your shirt and you're cuddling with somebody and they rub their tips of their fingers on your chest in a slow upward and downward motion to sort of give you the tickling sensation.
That's a chest tickle, but man, you were saying chesticle. If I'm sitting across the table from you, I don't know if I'd be dating you if you want some chesticles.
I don't think he was asking for chesticles. I think he was asking for chesticles.
I don't know. He likes chesticles.
Well, I think there's a fine line between chesticles and chesticles.
I actually prefer chest tickles.
Right.
I think we all do.
Yeah. My chest is numb. I have no feeling in my chest. Did you
really?
Know that? Yeah.
No.
I have no feeling in my chest.
What happened?
I hate having my chest touched. Because when I was younger, both my lungs collapsed and they had to do all sorts of surgery on me where they cut me on the sides.
Yeah.
It messed up all the nerves in my chest. And so if Catherine is tickling my chest, what it feels like is if you took a piece of paper and put it over your chest and then somebody tickled on top of that.
Or I
can feel the pressure, but I have no sensation whatsoever.
Oh, no.
Yeah, where my chest is. Same thing with my nipples.
That's like a super
I have very, very little feeling in my in my nipples. Yeah,
what about your underarm?
Yeah, my underarm. It starts to get better in my underarm, but like my actual chest, like, you know when somebody put their head on your chest and just sort of give you those like little tickles, run their fingers through that hair, right? I feel nothing.
Really?
I feel nothing. Yeah.
What a waste.
So how hard does Maury have to pinch until you feel it?
Shut up, dude.
Great question.
I thought you were on our side. I thought you were goofing on Maury.
Just stop it.
Thanks, Brandon.
Later, bro.
All right, see ya. The Roz and
Mocha Show podcast. Hey, Roz, when you were traveling with Air Transat earlier this year with your family, did you guys take advantage of Kids Club?
We did, yeah. And especially on the flight, Kids Club's really great on the flight. They came around and they just have stuff specifically for kids, right? And when you're traveling with a kid, you know that it's hell for the most part. Airports with a little kid are hell. Roxy's a little older now, so she's a pretty decent traveler. But what Air Transat does is they specifically make moments on a flight to cater just directly to the kids, which one, makes them feel special, two, makes them feel comfortable, and three, makes for a much easier flight.
And when you guys traveled, Roxy was free because she's like almost nine now.
Yeah.
And Kids Club with Air Transat is free for kids age 2 to 11. You get free seat selection, a dedicated check-in counter for the people who are traveling, pre-boarding for members and their families, even in economy class. This is huge, dude.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, on other airlines, because Catherine has traveled a lot of places with Roxy, and on other airlines, many times, I cannot tell you the amount of times she's booked tickets, and it is clearly an adult traveling with a child, because that is how you have to book your tickets. They get to the airport, and they're not sitting together.
Yeah.
And then it's a fight for her, right? Which don't have that problem with Air Transat.
AirTransat.com to learn more about their Kids Club. Again, it's free for kids age 2 to 11. Plus, you get priority baggage handling, which is massive.
Massive.
All right, what do you want to do now?
Phone call.
Hi, it's Ron Zamoka.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. It's actually my birthday today, and I'm just wondering if you guys could play 5 and 7.
Hold on, stop. Your phone sucks, dude.
Oh, it sucks?
Yeah.
Where are you right now? We can barely hear you.
Are you like still laying in bed on the phone with us?
No. I am on the phone sitting at a desk.
Oh, you're at work.
So you're trying to keep quiet so nobody else hears that you're talking to Roz and Mocha.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want us to pretend like this is a business call?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's your name, first of all?
Justin.
Justin, where do you work? Like, what do you do for a living?
No, that he's going to give that away. Why would he be on the phone talking to somebody where he works?
No. Right. I want to know so that we can ask questions based on.
But he can't actually say the words where he works in an office where he works. Okay, why would anybody do that?
Well, what do you do for a living then?
I work at a bank. It's very very fun job.
Okay.
Sounds like so much fun, okay. Justin.
So do we need to like pretend like it's a business call? Like just say generic-y things?
Well, no. We actually have to try and get information out of him. He has to, we have to get generic answers out of him. But we need to still find out information about him.
Justin, can you tell us what the current mortgage rate is at?
I do not know that at the moment. I can definitely find out for you and get back to you.
Oh, okay. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Can we take out a loan?
For you, Maury, I don't think you'd be approved.
Right. Oh. Okay.
Why have I heard that before?
Not just from a bank.
Yeah. So it's your birthday. Can you give us the year you were born?
1994.
Okay. Great
27 years.
That is not right.
That's not right, Mary. No.
And that's why you don't get approved for that loan.
That is incorrect. So it's your birthday today.
That is correct.
Do you wish you didn't have to work on your birthday?
I did. It should be a national holiday, actually.
It should be a holiday.
My husband's company, they give you the day off for your birthday.
Yeah, I said this, man. The next time somebody runs as prime minister of this country and you want to add to your mandate, your campaign, that the people of Canada no longer have to work on their birthdays. It's literally just one day off per person per year. And I would vote for somebody who campaigned on you don't have to work on your birthday.
What if your birthday lands on a Saturday?
Then you move it, Maury. Just have some imagination.
Hey, Justin, so at your workplace, when it's somebody's birthday, does the office like get together and do like a big thing like at lunch? Like, will someone take you out for lunch or will someone bring a cake and like share it around the office?
Yeah, it's normally a cake kind of deal where I work.
Do they get to ask you or do they ask you what kind of a cake you want? Or they just kind of pick up like a generic?
Yeah, just pretty generic cake.
Do you guys ever, when somebody comes in and they, you know, deposit a check or whatever, and if they have like an incredible amount of money in their account, do you guys ever gossip about it afterwards?
Oh, I'm not a teller.
Oh, do the tellers gossip about it afterwards?
I have no clue, but I would assume so.
Yeah, I would assume too.
Do you have the ability to look up Roz's net worth?
So it's a lot more than yours, Maury.
Right, thanks.
Oh, wow.
Wow, jeez.
Just to bring the fire on his own birthday.
Yes, and because it's your birthday, what did you want us to play?
I was wondering if you guys could play 5 and 7.
Yes, we can
okay,
do that.
Okay, let us just get things organized, and then when we come back, we'll play 5 and 7 just for your birthday, Justin.
Great, looking forward to it.
All right.
Thank you, brother. Take care, man.
Thanks, guys.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All right, by request, gentlemen, would you like to play 5 and 7?
This is 5 and 7.
Oh, baby, here we go. Here we go. 5 and 7, very, very simple game. I will ask Damon Mooring to name 5 things. He has 7 seconds to name those 5 things. Mocha, you will be our official judge and timekeeper as always. Damon Mooring, good morning.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Always.
Maury. Name 5 foods you eat off the bone.
Okay, so meat. Meat.
Loser.
Okay. I was looking for ribs,
wings, meat.
A T-bone, a turkey leg, marrow, lamb chop.
So elaborate.
Off the bone.
Right.
Right.
So
chicken wings?
Meat. Yeah.
Yeah, but I said meat. Okay.
No.
Man.
Maury. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Name 5 words that rhyme with word.
Word, spurred, dirt, turd, curd, flurred.
Loser.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you please, for everybody, Damon Mooring, explain what a dirt is?
Oh my goodness, I hit my head, dirt.
Okay, what is a Mooring? Mooring?
What is you mean like derp?
What is a flurred?
Oh, there was such a hot guy, and he totally flirted with me.
Gotcha. Oh, girl.
Incorrect. Maury, name 5 things you can fly.
Okay, an airplane, a kite. I can fly like a bird.
Loser.
Well, if you can fly a bird. No, birds can fly.
Yeah, birds can learn how to fly on their own.
Yeah, you can't fly a bird. I would have accepted helicopter, hot air balloon, kite, as you said, paper airplane. I would have even given you the coop. You can fly the coop.
Oh!
All right.
Dirt.
Okay, Maury, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Maury, name 5 4-syllable words.
Happy. No.
home, grocery.
That's three.
Loser.
Like how he said home and it was one clap.
You were getting high though. You got to grocery.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to do over on that one real quick?
Quickly.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
First of all, name one four syllable word.
I'm trying. I'm getting there. Donkey.
No.
Giraffe.
Keep going.
Automobile. Automobile.
Okay. Here we go. Maury, are you ready? Maury.
What is this?
Maury.
Dong. Have you seen my automobile?
Maury, name five four syllable words. Go.
Automobile. Lawnmower, lawnmower, telephone.
Oh, loser.
What about helicopter?
Oh, television.
Yes, television is one of them, Maury. Okay. You're right. Ability.
Ability.
Community.
Community.
Institution.
Why do you put an A in community?
Institution.
Vegetable.
Vegetable.
Yeah. Variety.
Variety.
There you go. Those are all four syllable words, Maury. And finally, before we go, Maury, are you ready?
Mm.
Maury, name five things that get smaller the longer you use it.
Pencil. Spaghetti.
Loser.
Bro, did you say spaghetti?
A derb.
You said spaghetti?
Because, like, I was picturing you eating it and it gets smaller.
Okay, would have given you, yes, pencil, eraser, ice cube,
soap,
candles. I would have even given you the soles of your shoes, Maury. Right?
Spaghetti.
Twerd.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It's our favorite time of year, Roz.
Oh, I know.
The, without a doubt, most popular group we've ever had. Group of individuals we've ever had on the Roz and Mocha Show in the 9 years that we've been doing this show.
And I would say the guests that have been on the show more than any other guests.
Yes.
Have we had Stida Wilco?
No.
No, not at all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the Wiggles. All
right. I think Maury says this is your eighth time on the Roz and Mocha Show. Yes.
Oh my God. We saw you guys on a bus with pink costumes on.
Yeah, a beautiful new picture of you two.
Yeah.
And you looked dashing.
We call them suits, not costumes, just for the record. Okay? Thanks.
Anthony and Emma Wiggle are here. Let's talk about this real quick. Wiggle, 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 the tour, 25 cities right across the country. I just want to hit these dates real quick. October 4th in Ottawa, Centrepoint Theaters. October 6th and 7th in Hamilton at First Ontario Concert Hall. October 11th, Brampton, the Rose Theater. Toronto, you got two dates, October 13th and 14th, both at the Sony Center for the Performing Arts. In Barrie on October 17th, the Barrie Molson Center. And our friends in Vancouver will get to see you on October 30th at the Orpheum. Whoa. So,
you must be exhausted.
Yeah,
it's a really big tour, It's probably the most amount of shows we've done in Canada as the new lineup of the Wiggles. It's
really?
About 80 shows.
Wow.
So that's just in Canada, but when you're touring everywhere else, so how many days a year are you are you on the road?
I think it's about 9 months of the year.
Nine months?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
And then during that time though, when you are on the road so much, I know you recently put out the Wiggle Pop album.
Yeah.
And plus Emma, you guys are filming the new Emma new Emma show.
And we're filming Wiggles show here in Canada. We're doing a whole lot of we've taken a camera with us for the whole tour.
So when do you find the time to write material for that stuff and also figure out when and where you're going to film?
Oh, we write when we're on the bus or driving along, and we've got Ollie, our wonderful guitar hero here. He's only 20 years old, and he's just name a song, a great rock song, he'll play it.
Oh man.
Thunderstruck.
Get out of here.
No.
Give me another one. Some genius. I liked it.
Back in Black.
That's Ollie.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible.
Okay, one more.
What's another classic guitar
walking
track?
In Memphis.
No, not Walking in Memphis. More. Oh. He said a great rock song.
Do either
Zeppelin or give me your hottest GNR lick.
Oh,
come on, Ollie.
Come on, Ollie.
Don't let us down, mate. Yeah.
So good. Wow.
One of the things that we absolutely love is when you guys come in and not only visit, but we have a great chat, but also when you perform a custom Roz and Mocha song. And I understand that you guys have one prepared for us today.
We wrote it on the way over.
Thanks for the dedication.
We're all your hard work.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay, we're ready.
From Led Zeppelin to the Glasgow Hornpipe.
Are you starting straight away? Yeah, okay.
Okay. Right. Are you ready?
Hello, Roz. Hello, Mocha. It's lovely to be in Canada. We brought the big red car. We're going to travel far from Toronto to Vancouver. Toronto is the land of the bow. We'll see you at the show from the land of kangaroo. We've topped over to you. I'm wearing yellow and Anthony's in blue. Well, we're starting in Newfoundland, in St. John's. We love their accents, but where do they come from? Well, we'll have to get on the road to visit everyone. But no matter where we go, our fave's the Roz and Mocha Show. Well, we're starting in Newfoundland, in St. John's. We love their accents, but where do they come from? Well, we'll have to get on the road to visit everyone. But no matter where we go, our fave's the Roz and Mocha Show.
Gentlemen,
are the best. Before we go, can I just I want to read this Ryan Reynolds exchange that you guys had with him over Twitter.
Yes.
Okay, so the Wiggles tweeted Ryan Reynolds. They said, hey, Ryan Reynolds, can you recommend a good place for us to do the propeller in your beautiful home country? We're there in under a week. Feel free to join in. We've got some spare skivvies packed. Hashtag wiggle, wiggle, wiggle tour. Hashtag Canada. And then Ryan Reynolds replied and he said, laws and guidelines differ from province to province, but Canada has always been a sexually adventurous country. Then he replied again being, apologies, you meant a different propeller. This is fine. Anywhere in Canada, I'd be happy to join. Are you going to get him on stage? Oh,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
But I was shocked because he wrote that first answer and I wrote OMG.
Right.
Anthony's like, we've never gotten tweets like this before.
I don't know if there's two groups called the Wiggles out there, but we may have a
team. The Wiggles, how you doing?
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Which one of you nerds knows more about computers?
Well, it depends. What do you need to know?
Well,
my grandmother calls me almost every day to help her with hers.
Okay. Does your grandmother call you every day, Mocha? About computers?
I don't have a grandma.
Oh. Would she?
Yes.
Okay. Tight race so far.
I don't know. Maury's kind of winning because his grandma's still alive.
Okay, so.
I have two grandmas.
Way to rub it in.
Jeez, man. Nobody needs two grandmas. So I was on this tip last night where I was like messing around on my computer and I was having problems with the USB port.
Okay.
And I'm like, man, you know, I've been using a computer forever.
Wait, USB or USB-C?
USB.
Okay, old school.
And I was like, what does USB mean? What does USB stand for?
USB.
Yeah, oh, smart guy.
Listen, leave me alone. I ain't got no grandmas.
It's true. More, you have to go second. Mocha gets first guess because you still have two grandmas.
What's up, granny?
What does USB stand for? What does USB stand for?
Ultimate.
Okay.
Sizable.
Yeah.
Bitmatic.
Ultimate, sizable, bitmatic. Good guess, Mocha. Maury?
Universal serial board.
Hold on. Okay, say it again.
Universal serial board.
What's a universal serial board? What's a board?
It's a port with a B. Okay.
Universal serial board?
Like surfboard.
No, it's Universal Serial Bus.
Which is wrong.
That's what it means. Okay. Gentlemen, we all know what CD means, right?
Yeah, compact disc.
Thank you. But remember we all got computers and it was a CD-ROM?
Oh. What is...
What does CD-ROM mean? More,
okay,
you
go
first.
Ahead. Okay, grandma's.
Compact disc read-only memory.
More, Mocha?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Compact disc read-only memory.
Oh.
What does CPU mean?
CPU.
Yeah. Seen that before a million times. Never knew what it was. What does CPU mean?
Computer. Port. Portable. Ah, okay. Computer. Portable.
Do you mean portable or boardable?
Portable.
Yeah.
Business.
You said CPU, no,
yeah,
right?
It's a central,
oh,
central processing unit. You were not going to get that, Maury. HDMI. What does HDMI mean? Remember how HDMI cables started off and they were $200 each?
Oh,
and
my
and
God.
Then,
yes.
And then the world came around to realize that there's absolutely no difference between a $6 HDMI cable and a $600 HDMI cable.
Yeah, like a 200 pack for $5 on Amazon.
Isn't that crazy?
Okay, HDMI.
HDMI, gentlemen. What does HDMI mean?
High definition media input.
Maury.
That. High definition immediate input.
Median input?
He said HDMI. Not HDI.
No, high definition multimedia interface.
Multimedia? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess that's one word.
Yeah. All right. What does PDF mean?
PDF.
Yeah, PDF. We all get them all the time. PDF file, can't open it on my computer. I'm never going to read it.
Personal data file.
Oh, that's better.
What were you going to say?
Photo data fun.
Who sends you photos in PDFs, Maury?
Photo data fun.
You weirdo. That's photo how you keep data secret. Fun?
That's how you keep secrets.
So, no, photo data fun.
No, it's not photo data fun. It's a portable document format.
Oh, stupid.
Yes.
Okay, you got one more?
One more, yeah. RAM.
Go for it.
RAM.
RAM. Read all memory.
Read all memory. Mocha?
Because, yeah.
Route all media.
Oh, random access memory.
Oh.
Oh.
Half a point.
Right?
I'm sorry for me, guys. I ain't got no grandmas.
That's true.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
According to social media, everybody went apple picking this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. You didn't do that?
No. I was at a wedding.
You didn't do
my sister-in-law got married.
Oh, right. Oh, congratulations to them. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I like that.
We were busy with
the
that.
The sister that married Artem.
And
yes.
Love him.
According to social media, everybody did go. Damn it, Maury went apple picking. And he went apple picking with his dad and his husband, damn it, Matthew. And we'll...
Oh, yeah, just the three dudes?
He recorded the whole thing. Here's just a little taste.
Dad, do you see me? I'm juiced around the corner.
Are you out here to pick apples, or are you just out here holding a microphone and you're preoccupied? We came all the way over here. It's a gorgeous day. Look at the sky.
Okay. Okay, so that one.
God, I love you so much, Frank.
And more. So what were you? So Maury went apple picking with his family on the weekend, and then what happened? You went back to your dad's, and they threw a surprise Thanksgiving.
There was a thing, like, we put the turkey in before, but we had no idea when we went there that it was going to be an early Thanksgiving dinner.
Who does early Thanksgiving?
Well, because they go to their trailer or whatever on the long weekend, so to be able to do
like
it all together.
Like 2 weeks, bro.
Yeah, but they're not available.
Yeah, but okay, can I just, like, with Thanksgiving, I understand maybe you got to do like an early Christmas or Hanukkah and even somebody's birthday, whatever. Yeah. But if you're not going to be around on Thanksgiving, you don't do early Thanksgiving 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Hey, I like a good turkey dinner.
Right. So does that mean you had like a full turkey dinner on Saturday?
With the giblets and all and mashed sweet potatoes and stuffing and everything.
Oh, wow.
The tradition is my dad and I share the heart.
Right.
What?
Excuse me?
My dad and I share the
heart. What are you, Vikings?
It's, you know, it's the man
of the
house.
Did you grow up in a cult?
We both split the heart.
That's like you. That's like what
that kids, sounds gross.
Like what dads in movies did with their kid when they teach them how to hunt.
Yeah.
You know where they go and they like cut out the heart and then you guys sit in a field
or before
and share
you become
it.
A soldier.
Yeah. Like, are you a man now? Like, is that what happened? Like your dad, you and your dad share a heart of an animal and then you're a man now? Like, is that how that works?
I am the manest man there is.
So what else? What are the traditions?
So we go
you guys
around
do?
The table. Tradition is that we go around the table and say what we're thankful
oh,
for.
Oh God, I hate those dinners. Yeah.
Because what? You have nothing to add?
I have nothing I'm thankful for.
So we start so we start with my Donna, my stepmom, then we go over to Kyle, then Matthew, yeah, then sure. me, then Daniel and my dad.
Okay.
So when it gets around to me, you know, I thought, oh, this is the greatest thing. In my mind, I'm like, I'm going to say something. So I said, first of all, my dad was thankful for everything, but Donna kept going, and your wife.
Right.
And your wife.
Sure. Yeah.
Then it came to me, and I said, I was thankful for the ability of being thankful.
What does that mean?
That's stupid.
No, it makes complete sense. Why is that stupid?
What
does that
even mean? Thankful for the ability to be thankful?
Like you're thankful for like thought?
I'm thankful because I have the ability to be thankful.
For what?
Whatever I want to be thankful for. So I have the ability.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I have the ability to be thankful for my family.
Selfish.
Okay. So say that again.
I'm thankful that I have the ability to be thankful for my family.
So you're thankful for your family?
No, I'm thankful for the ability to be thankful for them.
For the thought of being thankful.
Okay, but hold on here. Say that again.
So does that mean you're not really thankful for your family?
No, but sure I am. But
okay, say it
in
again.
In this instance, I'm thankful
for the ability.
For the ability.
To be thankful.
To be thankful.
For my family.
For my family.
So basically, you're thankful for your family.
No.
For your family.
Yes, but no. I'm thankful.
No, yes. The answer is yes,
no,
but nothing else.
But yes, I am thankful for them. But in this instance, I'm thankful that I have the ability to be thankful.
What do you mean the ability to be thankful?
Like, I guess it's like, I'm so glad I have the ability to do it.
But what do you mean?
Because if you didn't, you wouldn't say it?
If I didn't have the ability, then I'm not thankful
for
them.
But what do you mean ability to actually say the words?
The words, the thought, like everything. I'm thankful that I have that ability.
So you're thankful for you. And everything that comes with you.
Yeah, that's why I said, that's why when we first started talking about this, I said, that's like selfish. That's a real selfish statement to be making.
No, I didn't think it selfishly.
You didn't think it selfishly.
God, you are a wordsmith, bro. Hey, Kiss, it's Roz and Mocha.
I think he's trying to say having the opportunity to be thankful.
Nah, he said ability.
Ability? Really?
Is that what you meant, Maury? Come in here and clarify for it.
I think he means ability.
Yeah.
No, he's trying to say he has the opportunity and he's thankful that he has.
No, stop trying to save the guy.
You know
he knows what he said.
No, but what he says makes sense too.
So basically, are you trying to say I'm thankful for having stuff to be thankful for?
That as well, yes.
Oh God, like, that's so selfish.
No, but what I meant was
that makes
is like
no sense at all, Maury.
Yeah, see, thank you.
No, but I'm thankful that I'm given the opportunity to be thankful.
Oh, now you changed it to opportunity.
Yeah, you've just changed what you're saying.
I'm thankful.
Stop trying to save yourself, bro.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not working.
The one thing we didn't hear was how did that go over at the table?
Everyone looked at me and was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly. Like everybody listening right now.
But I thought it would be like, you know, what is those things that people say that are like, you know, real like, oh, wow, that was really...
Words.
Were you trying to hallmark?
You know what I mean? Like when you say something and everyone's like, whoa, that was deep, bro. Profound.
Oh, you thought that it was profound.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't
that
work with you, though.
That was profoundly wrong to say.
Yeah. Profound's not a good look for you, Moore.
I was really tricked because everyone was saying they were thankful for family, so I was trying to
next,
sound
next
smart.
Next time y'all doing that around the table and it gets to you, just say clothes.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So I guess this was the weekend for apple picking. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And what, that's it? Like, if you try to go this coming weekend, you won't get any of the
real good ones? No, I don't think so, because we went last weekend and it was still good.
Yeah.
This is the cusp of it ending.
It
so
is.
The farm that we went to, it's like they have the sort of the map on when you enter in, and it sort of says like October, they'll just sell them only in the store. They start taking them off the trees.
I gotcha.
They put them away for the winter.
And so Maury went apple picking with his husband and his father, family, but mainly his husband, Damon Matthew, and his dad, Frank.
And what did you do? You just troll them the whole time?
Yeah, because you got to add some fun.
Sure.
Matthew, it's eye to the sky and pull.
Eye to the sky.
You're going to take the whole damn tree. Eye to the sky and pull.
Yeah, I'm going to eye to the sky and pull you.
To remember, if you're planning on doing any baking of apples, why are you picking the small ones?
No, we're picking big apples. Are you peeling your age today?
No, I just feel peeling, period.
What do you get if you cross an apple with a shellfish?
An apple that wants to be by himself?
No, a crab apple.
Okay, great.
You didn't put eye to the sky and pull. You took the whole tree.
No, I didn't. I know. I'm the one that set the rule here. It was a leaf that came down with the rest of the apple.
Why are you taking so long at picking the apples?
Because you have to pick the right one. Just like I picked the right one with you, you know?
Aww.
My apple.
How do you make an apple turnover?
I don't know.
How do you make an apple turnover?
Put it in the oven.
You just say, I don't know.
I don't know.
Push it down the hill.
Don't get it.
Apple turnover.
Okay. You're in the way.
Just pull the cart.
Okay, I love how I'm pulling the cart and you're not. That's just great.
You know, you need to apple-eye yourself if you want to get anywhere in life.
I can't understand what you're saying. This is such a workout. Stop. Can you go talk to your dad?
Dad, do you see me? I'm juiced around the corner.
You're a Jew around the corner.
Juiced around the
corner. That was last week. High holidays. Yes, we have our...
No, I'm Shana juiced. Tava. I'm juiced around the corner.
Belated Shana Tava. Yeah, you're a Jew around the corner.
Hey, Dad, what kind of apple isn't an apple?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you out here to pick apples, or are you just out here holding a microphone and you're preoccupied that you're not even out here picking an apple?
Well, I'm providing the entertainment.
What entertainment? We came all the way over here. It's a gorgeous day. Look at the sky.
Okay, what kind of apple isn't an apple?
It's good.
A pineapple.
Oh, my God.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
See, Justin Timberlake brought Shawn Mendes
sexy
out.
Back? Oh. Sorry, I never jump on you. I'm so sorry about that, but I couldn't resist.
Back in 2006, yes, he did. But he brought Shawn Mendes out on stage. He was performing in Vegas over the weekend.
Oh, really?
And
God, what did that room sound like?
Shawn Mendes to sing What Goes Around, one of my favorite JT songs.
Thing that you play. Said that you were moving on now. Maybe I should do the same. Funny thing about that is I was ready to give you my name. Thought it was me and you, baby. But now it's just all the shame. And I guess I was wrong. Don't wanna think about it. Don't wanna talk about it. I'm just so sick about it.
Wow, they sound good together.
Really
good.
That's
crazy.
Especially seeing as how the last couple of JT records that he released kind of had a Shawn Mendes feeling to it.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
I think these two would sound fantastic together.
God,
on one record.
That's crazy.
If they recorded a track together.
Yeah, it's difficult to... I don't know what you would want them to do. It would have to lean towards the Shawn Mendes sound as opposed to the JT sound. I think JT would sound better on a Shawn Mendes song than Shawn Mendes would sound on a JT song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you play that again?
Yeah. Oh my God, of course.
It's really good.
Thing that you play.
This is Shawn Mendes, and then Justin Timberlake comes in close to the end.
Maybe I should do the same. Funny thing about that is I was ready to give you my name.
Wow.
Thought it was me and you, baby. But now it's just all the shame, and I guess I was wrong.
You know what's funny about this?
It's crazy.
Is that even though it's a Justin Timberlake song and Shawn Mendes is still singing a Justin Timberlake song,
yeah,
it fully sounds like a Shawn Mendes song, if that makes sense. It sounds like a song that Shawn Mendes would write and record and perform himself. Does that make sense?
It does. Of course it does.
Like, that's how good of a performer Shawn Mendes is.
Yeah, it's really good. I'd like to hear more of that. I want to hear... I'm with you. I want to hear them do something.
Oh, my God.
That's great, though.
That would be...
And what was that, Vegas?
That was in Vegas,
lucky.
And I remember I saw Justin Timberlake. He, like, teased that he was bringing out Shawn Mendes by posting a picture of the two of them on Instagram.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
I went for Indian last night.
What'd you eat?
I normally I have like a vindaloo, which I really love. I love a spicy vindaloo, but I normally order Indian to come to the house because I like to get a good sweat going.
Yeah.
Like when I eat Indian, I preferably in a perfect world, by the end of the meal, I like to be shirtless with a towel over my head.
Oh my God.
Right? I like to get a good sweat going. I put the towel, I lean over the coffee table.
Yeah.
My brother and I have done this together.
Okay.
Where we order.
Like under the same under the same towel?
No, not under the same towel. Actually, we had our own towels. So I'll go in the kitchen and I'll, if I don't have a tea towel, I'll actually just go and get like a bath towel. Yeah. And what I like to do when I eat Indian, because I like it super spicy. Like it's got to be really spicy. And I put on the coffee table and then I lean right over.
Yeah.
And take my shirt off, sometimes preemptively because I know how hot I'm going to get.
Yeah.
I take my shirt off and then I take the towel and I put the towel over my head. So it's almost like I'm eating in shame, right? So I put the towel right over my head and then I just eat. And then as I start to sweat, I just use the sides of the towel. Uh-huh. But I don't take the towel off my head like I tent myself while I'm eating Indian.
Are you wearing pants?
Generally, I would say. I wouldn't want to get that much spice anywhere that's uncovered.
So with the towel over your head, right? Yeah. I'm just trying to picture this. When you lean over the bowl or the plate.
Yeah. It's like when you go for a steam.
Does the towel drape over your bowl as well?
It would have to. Otherwise, you'd have to lift it for every bite.
No, because it's just... Imagine I use like a towel where it comes to the on your forehead like where a hood does.
Right
on my forehead.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And then it's hanging
so
down.
So it's like you're eating food with a hoodie on.
It's like I'm eating food with a hoodie on. Yeah, but it hangs down like a just like giant flowing terry cloth hair.
And you're all over your face, so also the steam will cleanse your face.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get clean while I eat. That's weird.
Why is that weird? Yeah. It's, you know, two birds, would be like, one stone.
That would be like having wings and clipping your nails at the same time.
Oh, gross.
Right?
Like, also very like hard to do.
Who would ever do that? Yeah, right?
So gross.
Like, who would
that
ever... Who would ever do that? Of all the things that you could do...
That's probably...
Yeah.
Because you eat the chicken wings with your hands.
Yeah.
Right? And then, what? So, you take a bite, and then you clip your toenails, and then you pick up another chicken wing and take
something like that. I had a friend's. I had a friend's mom who used to chew gum while eating. So like she would eat dinner, she would tuck the gum in the side of her mouth, and then she would take like a bite of steak and potatoes, chew it up, swallow it, and then go back to the gum in between.
I've done that at a ballpark though.
In between bites.
Wait, but how does the steak and potato not kind of mix in with the gum?
She puts it in a pocket, off in the side. Puts it in a pocket.
But then that would mean, let's say if you take the gum and you put it in the pocket on the right side of your mouth, that means you're only chewing with the left side of your mouth.
Yeah. I've done that with a hot dog.
Yeah. And you know that some gravy gets in there too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah,
no, but think of how awesome it is because you take a bite and then when you swallow the bite, you could chew some of the gum, put the gum back, take another bite.
I get grossed out if I see somebody chewing gum while they drink something, like coffee.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's so gross. It's so gum is gross though. When's the last time you had gum? I never have gum anymore.
Oh, like 2 days ago. I love gum.
Really? You love gum?
I had gum last night because I was worried I had bad breath.
You had bed breath?
Bad breath.
You talk funny, bro. You stop chewing gum. Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Hello, Roz and Mocha.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Not much, man. I just wanted to call because I always try to call, but I can never get through.
Oh, well, you got through. What's your name?
My name's Mike.
Mike, what do you want to say? You got Roz and Mocha.
Well, first of all, I called and I told Maury that he was my favorite out of the three of you. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but...
not too good.
No, but do you really feel that way, or did you only say that so he would put you through to us?
Why'd you have to call me all like that?
Yeah. Because people have figured out that when somebody calls in and they talk to Maury before getting through to us, if they say, oh, I want to talk to Roz and Mocha, to tell them that they're my favorite, Maury more times will... say that we're busy and ask you to call back and then hang up. But people figured out that if they say to Maury, hey, I want to tell Roz and Mocha that you, damn it, Maury, are my favorite, he will like stop everything he's doing, make us stop everything that we're doing to say, guys, you have to take this phone call right now.
Oh, yeah, right away. As soon as I told him he was his favorite, oh, he's like, okay, I'll put you through right away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what's going on today, Mike? How are you?
Not much, man. Just starting my day right now at work.
Oh, okay. What do you do for a living?
I'm an electrician. Also, what's the call? I think I've seen Roz on ET Canada a couple of times.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah.
He's been on the show for like 14, 15 years. So, man. He's been up with that show since like the very, very beginning.
Well, fuck. I don't usually watch ET Canada. The other day, my mom was watching Young and the Restless, and I was just laying down on the couch, and I was like, oh, I swear that's Roz from Roz and Boca. And I was like, yeah, that's him. I was like, oh, wow. So, I didn't even know.
Well, say hi to your mother for me.
I will.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate you guys for taking my call.
Oh, hold on. Well, we got to get to the bottom of this. Mike, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Do I gotta say?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Sorry, Roz, but Mocha.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Your mother.
Sort of loser. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you, brother.
See you guys. Have a good one. Bye.
You too.
Right on. Later.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Fabian.
You sent an email just now, which we literally just opened.
That's why I called.
So you're growing.
My wife has her script. I'm not growing. My wife.
Your wife is growing.
Yeah.
Weed, by the way, in case you're wondering what we're talking to Fabian about. Fabian calls in and he is a weed expert.
I'm prescribed.
You're prescribed.
Right. So
yes.
The picture that you sent through, there's quite a few plants there. And the lighting, it looked more purple than anything. Is that intentional?
Yeah, LEDs, yeah.
Okay, LED purple. Why LED purple?
Well, right, because they're in flowering stage right now.
Oh.
How long does it take from the time that you seed something in a pot to the time when the weed plant grows where you can pull some off and roll a doobie with it? How long?
Who says doobie anymore?
Oh, people don't say doobie?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So I have what point from when you can put the seed in the plant until the plant grows wrong enough that you can roll a spliff?
Okay.
Okay, so I planted the seed at July 3rd.
Okay.
I planted these seeds, and it's not going to be ready for another 9 more weeks.
Oh, wow.
9 more weeks?
Yeah, man.
So like 4 and a bit, 4 months.
Yeah, about that.
Hey, okay. The one thing I do know about weed plants is I don't really like the smell of weed, like somebody smoking weed, but I had no idea until recently how much the actual plant itself smells. What do you do about the smell in the house?
I got a carbon filter.
Oh, you do?
I got two carbon filters running in the tent, so no smell comes in. You can't smell it at all in my house, at all.
Did you know that about weed plant smoke?
No.
That just the plant itself reeks?
I had no idea.
Yeah, it does smell really bad.
It smells more. Sometimes it smells more than worse than smoking it.
Yeah.
Wait, so where's your setup? Outside the house or inside?
It's like outside setup, you know?
Yeah.
And what
in a house, outside.
And the squirrels don't get into it and stuff?
No, it's in a tent. It's in a shed.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. So it's outside protected.
Jeez, man.
Yes.
And how much, so five, you have 5 plants going, and how much weed is that?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I have 8.
You have 8, sorry, my bad. Okay, so you have...
No, and hold on, let's clarify this. I don't have it, my wife
Your
does.
Wife.
Right.
We're so sorry. We should not forget all your wife's hard work and all of this, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I'm sure she would appreciate you outing her like that.
Yeah, out there in the coveralls with the gloves on, doing all the... Yeah, no, she's not. How much weed do you get from 8 plants?
Oh, I'm hoping we're going to get at least 3 pounds, 4 pounds.
Wow!
Yeah. Jeez,
and that's just all
but
for you.
It's supposed to last her whole year of script, right?
Wow,
she's allowed 2 grams a day, so that's supposed to last her whole year.
Wow.
Damn.
That's a lot of weed.
That is a lot of weed.
Okay, let's say, hypothetically speaking, not that you ever would or your wife, because you're obviously farmers and your hearts are in the right place. But if you were to sell, say, 4 pounds of weed, what is the value of that? What is the dollar value of what your harvest would yield?
If I were to sell the 8, let's say if I got 4 pounds, I'd probably make like $8,000.
Wow.
Whoa, damn.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's honestly not like that at all. It's just strictly for medical, for arsenic, like, you know, for her. Like, you spend $500 a month, man, on it.
Maury just looked at me, rubbing his eyes, being like, man, my eyes are so bad. I need a prescription.
My cataracts.
My cataracts are kicking in.
Exactly, you know. Hey, October 17th. Man, you guys just let me come in there. I told you.
Yeah.
I'll educate.
Man. Sure.
I'll bring everything I have and I sit down. It'll be legal, so nobody will get in trouble.
Well, that's not true.
Well, we can't have you bringing in weed all up in here.
Why not? I could bring 30 grams.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
I abide by the law, man, as much as I can.
All right. I hear you. Me too. We all do as much as we can.
Exactly.
All right, brother.
All right. We got to go, Fabian.
It's a pleasure.
Later,
you guys have a great one.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You were at Elton John last summer? Oh, that's right. You went to Elton John.
I've never seen a man behind a piano spit into a bucket before each song that he's going to do.
You've never been to my house that morning.
Yeah, after, that's so gross.
After
so
each
gross.
Song, he would stand up, point to a few people in the crowd, sort of say hello and bow, and then spit in the bucket.
He had a spit bucket there?
That's
like
so
a,
gross.
And it was like one of those ice buckets from hotels.
Fancy spit bucket.
Like a fancy spit bucket, a spittoon.
Really, huh?
That's so gross.
Yeah.
Imagine, whose job is that to empty Elton John's spit at the end of the right. night after each concert?
I would yeah. sell that on eBay.
That is so gross. Yeah.
I would absolutely sell it.
Oh, gross.
We, at the cottage, Catherine goes like antiquing and stuff like that all the time, and she found an old chamber pot.
Yeah,
that's for the pee.
It's for the pee. It's what you used to have in the corner of the bedroom.
Yeah,
and used to whiz in it
because they didn't have plumbing.
And so she found an old chamber pot, and it just sits on the shelf, and we use it as a chip bowl. Right?
Ew.
That's so rough. Oh my
dude.
God. Oh my God.
Because
oh
it's really,
God.
It's really, oh it's really quite oh beautiful.
Yeah, but you know what was in it? It
yeah.
was one point.
Yeah, sure.
But how do you know that antique shop cleaned it before they acquired
it? Well, because we've cleaned it many times since, right?
Even
so
still.
So we have an old chamber pot that we use as a chip bowl.
Have you ever gotten it tested?
And let me tell you, one of my favorite things in the world is, so we have friends over all the time, and whenever kids are over, I'll always fill up the chamber pot with like the biggest amount of chips just like heaving off to the sides.
Yeah.
And I sit them all across the kitchen counter, and I put it in front of them, and I wait until they've each had one, and then I lean and I look at all the kids and I go, "You guys ever heard of a thing called a chamber pot before?"
And then all the kids are like, "No."
No. And then I tell them the story of the chamber pot, and they're like, "Oh my God, that is so revolting."
Yeah.
And then I present them with the chamber pot, which they've been eating chips out of this
yeah,
whole time.
Yeah, but you know, then they go and tell their parents, you know, Roz made us eat out of a chamber pot.
So what? So what? I'm the cool dad that gave them chips out of a pee bucket. All right?
Yeah, and then you wonder why they never come and visit again.
I'm that cool dad. I'm not the cool dad that lets kids play Fortnite. I'm the cool dad that lets you eat out of something people used to pee in.
Oh, that's so gross.
So nasty.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Ron Zamoka. Who's this?
Good morning, guys. It's Rob. How are you doing today?
Good. What's going on?
I had to call in about Maury's comment that he made when he was talking about the Elton John concert.
Yeah.
Mocha said, whose job is it to clean out Elton John's spit bucket?
Yeah.
And Maury said he would sell it.
On eBay, yeah.
Yeah. My question is would Maury buy a cup of Elton John spit, and for how much?
You're disgusting, dude. Don't soil our show with this stuff nonsense.
We all
but you know. The answer is yes, he would
exactly.
buy it.
Exactly. So no. Why would you call in and ask?
I wouldn't buy Elton John's
spit. Because I
want
to know how much it would cost, how much, right. how valuable it would be to him.
Okay. Calm down for one second. Maury, you said
so
that you
gross.
Would not
I would not buy, Elton's, but okay. I would buy like Madonna's or Lady Gaga's.
So you would buy Madonna's spit?
Oh, gross.
Like if I possibly, like if it wasn't a lot,
how could you possibly be on the fence? How could there be parameters about this?
Well, I'm not going to spend $500 on the spit.
So it depends on how much the spit costs.
Yeah, and if there's some sort of photo proof that is the spit. Right?
There's
like
an easy way to figure this out. Okay, would you pay $50 for a shot glass of Madonna spit?
Yes.
$60?
Yes.
$100?
Yes.
$150?
Yeah.
$200?
Probably.
$3?
Yes.
$325?
Yes.
$350?
Yes.
$4?
Yes.
$450?
Yes.
$5?
Nope.
Okay, so $450. There we go. So no, he wouldn't pay $500 for Madonna spit, but he would pay $450.
All right.
Aren't you happy you made this call?
I am.
Yeah?
I am. I love the show, guys. I truly and honestly love the show.
Right. Well, we love you too.
I'm like legit disgusted right now.
Yeah, no, I can tell. I can tell.
Well,
no.
I have framed at home Lionel Richie's sweat rag from when I was at one of his shows.
Rag is such a dirty word.
It really
is. You know
is.
What I mean? If you had said towel, I would have been like, I wonder what that looks like. But as soon as you say rag, I'm like, oh God. Oh God. A rag is what you usually like clean things that you, I don't know.
Like under the sink.
No, like a rag is so dismissive. Like a towel, you clean something
actually,
up that you care about. But things you don't care about, you clean with a rag.
Like the bottom of your shoe.
Like the bottom of your shoe.
You know, I will say, now that you mention rag, so my family, and I don't know, maybe this is just a Guyanese thing.
Yeah.
But they all say rag.
Right. Yeah.
Like, get the rag to clean your face. Get the rag to clean yeah. your hands. Go wipe up the table. Go get the rag.
Yeah, see, I'm, you know.
We say shmata.
Shmata.
Which is Yiddish for rag.
For rag. Nobody have a face cloth? You gentlemen didn't grow up with a face cloth in the house?
There's no Yiddish word for face cloth.
Oh, no, it's a rag. We wash your face with a rag.
Yeah, but see, you dry a knife with a towel. You clean the shovel with a rag. You know what I mean?
All right. Don't you regret calling in now, Rob?
No, I don't. Fair enough. Maybe a tiny little bit, but yeah. I always enjoy calling in and talking to you guys. So.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man.
Love the show, guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
They did a poll. Where's this from, Maury? They did a poll where they talked to 2,000 people and they asked them what their favorite trilogy was of all time. And there's some huge mistakes in here because they've listed some trilogies that actually have more than three movies. And some, I think, that have less, but whatever.
Okay.
But the shocking part of this headline is if you were to, off the top of your head,
yeah,
name the best trilogy of all time, what would you say?
I would say Back to the Future.
So you say Back to the Future
mm-hmm.
as the best.
Yeah.
Back to the Future is 4 on the list.
Oh, really?
Where's this from?
Something called SWNS Digital News Services New York.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Oh,
God.
Okay, never mind then.
Wait, are we counting?
No, I'm kidding.
Are we going to talk Star Wars?
Yeah, so you can include the original trilogy in Star Wars because they have included the original trilogy.
Okay, so I will say number one for me would be the original Star Wars trilogy.
Okay.
Number two for me would be Back to the Future.
Okay, wrong and wrong.
What?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. Star Wars is actually tied for 7th.
7th place?
Yes.
For best trilogy.
Yeah, these people are
get
clearly mad.
Get out of here.
It's tied for 7th with Pirates of the Caribbean. But haven't there been like 7 Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Yeah, there have been more than 3 pirate movies.
Like I said. So anyway, they have Indiana Jones as number one, the best trilogy, even though there was 4.
I don't agree.
Jurassic Park at number 2.
I don't agree.
The Godfather at number 3.
Hello! Godfather 3 should not even be included.
Thank you.
In the Godfather universe.
Thank you. Back to the Future at number 4. Lord of the Rings and Die Hard are tied for 5.
I would argue Die Hard.
And then Pirates, which there's like 12 movies in that, and Star Wars at 7. The Terminator, which I don't know, what are you including as number 3 on the Terminator?
Well, Terminator 3, duh.
But which Terminator 3?
I know. There have been so many Terminator movies.
Right? Like, that's... which one are you saying is number 3? Toy Story at number 10. Home Alone at number 11. Was there 3 Home Alone movies? What was the third one?
The third one. Don't even. Forget it.
Who's in the third one?
No, Macaulay the third Culkin? One. No, some other next kid. I won't even include that.
Oh, well, anyway, that's 11 on the list. The Bourne movies at number 12. These are they asked 2,000 jabronis what the best trilogies were.
Yeah, people who know absolutely nothing about movies.
Iron Man and X-Men tied at number 3. The Matrix at 13. The Matrix at 15.
Oh, God.
Alien at 16.
There have been like a billion Alien movies, though.
And then way down at number 18 is the Dark Knight trilogy. These people said that the Home Alone trilogy
is greater than the Dark Knight?
Yes.
Than the Batman stuff with Christian Bale?
Yes. Right?
Get out of here.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roz, somebody texted us just now about episode number 45 of our podcast.
Okay.
I just want to call them to clear something up here.
Sure.
Roz and Mocha Show podcast you can get through Apple Podcasts or Google Play.
Hello?
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha from How Are You?
Oh, hi.
What's your name?
Hi, this is Jerome.
All right, so Jerome, we got your text just now about episode 45 of the podcast.
And oh, yeah.
It was a section of the podcast you said you guys are talking about ghosts and curses. I don't know curses, yeah. But I saw a ghost one time, and yeah, I believe they walk among us. So, Jerome.
Oh, yeah. I know, Rob, I didn't believe that crap. But
tell us your ghost story. When did this happen? How did it all go down?
Oh, well, I was a nursing student then.
Uh-huh. How long ago?
It was 2006, so I'm about to graduate.
Okay.
So we're in a hospital, public government hospital. I'm on this, imagine the place like it's a rectangle. So It's a long hallway.
Yeah.
So I went outside the room of my patient going back to the nursing station. I saw this couple walking in front of, towards me. So behind them, there's a kid. And the kid is bleeding from the head. And I remember she's wearing a blue shirt and a blue short and doesn't have any slippers.
So you're walking through the hospital hallway and you see a kid wearing wearing blue who's bleeding from her head.
Yes,
Okay.
As soon as I passed the couple, so I looked closer to the kid, but I, for some reason, I did not touch her or anything. But the kid is just walking straight. So as soon as I passed the kid, so I'm still looking at the kid, right? Then the kid slowly looked at me and just walked straight, but still looking at me. So I went to the nursing station. Then my colleague saw me, and I was pale. They told me I was pale. I was cold. Then I told them that I think I saw something. So I went to my other colleagues, my classmates on that side. Then I asked them if they saw the kid who was bleeding on her head. And they told me, why would she be here? If she's bleeding, she needs to be in the emergency room. That's when I realized that I saw a ghost.
I'm gonna tell you why this didn't happen.
Okay.
Because you either dreamt it or you imagined it, and somehow in your head from retelling this story over and over and over again, it has become real to you. Because you, even if you are not a full-fledged nurse, but you're in that environment, you feel some sort of sense of authority and direction in your life with what you want to do. You are a giver and a helper by nature. You would not walk down a hallway and see a kid standing there alone, bleeding from their head, and continue walking past that kid.
Yeah. To be honest, when I realized I didn't do anything, I was ashamed that I didn't touch her. But the thing is, I'm glad I didn't. Yeah, I was not dreaming. It was real. I was on duty, and
Your story is just as believable as Maury's encounter with a ghost, by the way.
Yeah. Maury's encounter with a ghost? Like, there's so many holes in that story.
Just yours is just as believable. Your listening to you tell your ghost story is just as ridiculous as listening to when Maury slept in a haunted hotel and saw a ghost one night.
Yeah.
Just as ridiculous. If anybody doesn't remember, we'll come back and we'll play that.
All right, thanks, Jerome.
Oh, yeah, thanks, guys.
Later, bro.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
My least favorite days on this show are when I have to sit here and talk to knuckleheads about ghosts. Maury, my love, please join us again. So we were just talking about Maury's run-in.
That has changed my life forever.
With a ghost.
Fake.
And
when you've seen a ghost once, it really changes how you look at life.
Stop it.
So where were you?
I was in Winnipeg.
Okay.
At what is...
Ooh.
Scary Winnipeg.
Yeah, you were in Winnipeg.
I was in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I was staying at what is considered...
Don't do that voice.
I'm trying to do like scary voice.
Nope.
No, just be normal for a change.
I was in Winnipeg, staying at like what is considered the most haunted hotel in Canada, in the most haunted hotel room.
Why? Do you remember why it was considered to be the most haunted?
Because everybody sees the same ghost, which is a woman wearing a white robe.
Right. Like Meghan Markle.
Right?
Yeah.
You saw Meghan Markle? Okay. Winnipeg?
This was pre-Markle.
So Maury specifically stayed in this room to hopefully see the ghost. And he came back being like, oh my God, guys, I saw the ghost. And he recorded the whole thing. You listen to this and then you judge for yourselves, okay?
So the room is dark and I'm alone.
Okay. That's more sleeping, by the way.
Oh, this part here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's sleeping.
That's how you sleep, Maury. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm sleeping.
Daddy's little piggy.
Okay.
Come on.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Holy f***. The room just got so cold. I'm getting off the bed. Oh my God. I'm now lying on the floor. I totally saw Kate at the end of my bed. Woman, white dress is now gone. Wow. I can't. I'm out of here.
Yeah, okay. Come on, Maury.
First of all, it's one of those I guess you had to be there moments.
No, but why put yourself in that position of where you just drum up this drama for yourself? There was no ghost in the room. There are no ghosts.
Did you not hear how I got scared when I awoke?
Yeah, we heard.
Like this. Yeah, oh, come on.
That is so fake, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who sleeps like that?
I was startled.
Yeah. No, but that was you.
No, that was pre-startled. Yeah. Listen, right here.
Right?
I mean, I've always been told I sleep weird.
Yeah.
Who sleeps like that? It's like you're sipping cocaine while you sleep.
Also, that breathing pattern, if you actually are sleeping, is quite alarming.
Yeah.
People shouldn't breathe like that while they're sleeping.
Yeah. It's like you're sleep stuttering.
Yeah.
I'm scarred for life.
Oh, stop it. I'm surrounded by...
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hi, I just wanted to call because I heard Roz say that he still does not believe in ghosts.
Yeah,
no, I didn't say I don't believe in ghosts. I said ghosts aren't real. There's a difference.
Okay, well, you are definitely wrong because okay. I've had multiple encounters.
Sure.
Okay,
Let me ask you a question first then.
Yeah.
Okay, what makes you so special?
No, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to tell you, Filipinos have this weird connection with, like, I don't know, with the supernatural or something, because I've had multiple encounters, so has my mom, and mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, and I really wish it wasn't there, but I have three specific ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you about one, the freakiest one. So I'm a child needs worker. I work at a hospital, and one of our patients went out for an overnight pass, and we told them, if you're too anxious, just come back, and you can stay here. You don't have to stay at home for the night. So my shift was done at 11:30. Right before my shift was over, we saw him on the cameras because he came back. So we called in and I said, was it too much for you? And he was like, yeah. And he was just like, I just want to go to bed. And I said, fine. So I opened his door, I closed it, and then I left. And for the rest of the night, the nurses that were there and the other child needs worker that were there overnight, we do 15-minute checks on all the patients.
Mm-hmm.
So they were checking on him every 15 minutes. And then the next morning, I guess when they all were ready to talk about shift change to get ready for the next day, our manager told us that the patient that went out last night had killed himself. And we're like, no, he didn't. He came back. Like, we were there all night. We checked on him every 15 minutes, and we went into his room, and, like, his bed was made. It's like he wasn't even there, and it was just the weirdest thing, and I wanted to quit.
You're delusional.
I don't know about that.
I'm not delusional.
Yeah, you are. So you didn't just see a ghost. So a whole floor of people at the hospital and the security camera saw a ghost.
Well, there was only two people working during the night. But I don't know. It's people. I think people say their goodbyes before they go off to wherever they need to go.
Did you go back and check the security footage afterwards?
Yes. And nothing was there, obviously.
Right. How long had you been working at that point? How many hours?
Only 8 hours.
So you didn't see a ghost. It didn't happen.
It totally did happen.
Mean to tell me before this patient passed away, they went back to make up their bed?
No, like they said he did it while he was on his visit, so he didn't even come back at all.
Yeah.
So who made up the bed?
So the bed was, I don't know. The bed was made from the morning before he left.
Right. And you guys, and you checked on him every 15 minutes and he was in the bed.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Well, I wasn't there, but they said he was.
Okay. Oh, see, so you didn't actually see. This is based on what was being told to you.
No, I opened the door at night for him.
Yeah, but you didn't walk into the room.
No, she let him into the hospital.
I let him onto the unit and then I opened his door so he could go into his door.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Or into his room.
Yeah, you had a conversation. Hey, how was it? Okay, good. Hey, welcome back, right?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
We're going to put you on hold. You and Maury can sit here and talk about your fake ghost stories all day.
Okay. Maybe you fell asleep at work and you were snoring like this.
This is what happens when you're talking to non-believers.
No, it doesn't. And you know what's going to happen now I'm going to get accused of being insensitive.
Oh, don't worry. Twitter, the texts are blowing up by that.
Are they? I'm insensitive because I'm the only adult in the room trying to tell people that ghosts aren't real. And I'm the crazy one.
Because you need to believe
when it happens
more.
Right. To you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what's your name on the phone, by the way?
I'd rather not say.
Yeah. because of embarrassment, right?
No, because I don't know if that was confidential for the hospital.
Believe me, that time a ghost came to work is not confidential because it didn't actually happen.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye, love.
Hi, it's Ron Zamoka. What's going on?
Not much. Just driving to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what can we do for you?
I have a really interesting ghost story about my summer trip in London.
All right, so I want to start with your name first.
Brittany.
All right, Brittany, how old are you?
I'm 25. Oh,
and perfect. How long ago did this happen?
July. So just a few months ago.
Oh, so this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened? Go ahead with your ghost story.
So I was in London on a trip with my mom.
Okay, London, England or London, Ontario?
Sorry, yeah, London, England.
Okay, go.
And, you know, doing all the touristy things, we go to Kensington Palace, which is where Prince William and Henry and Meghan and Kate all live.
Thanks.
But you can you can actually go and like tour it. You can walk through it and, you know, you pay money and you go through the Queen Victoria and Prince Albert suite.
Okay.
I'm a history teacher, so like I was geeking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was just like walking around and all of a sudden I felt like something hit my head, like my forehead. And I start looking up thinking maybe I've walked into something because I'm not paying attention. And I'm like looking around and I'm looking so confused. And the tour guide comes over and she goes, "Is there something wrong, miss?" I'm like, "Oh, I feel like I just got hit in the head." And she was like, "Oh yeah, that happens all the time. You know, the ghosts are pretty active here. And sometimes they like to touch people."
So you and got bumped. So you got bumped on the head by a ghost.
Literally, I got face palmed by a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge skeptic. Huge skeptic. My mom, she thinks she's a medium. I tell her she's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so, like, not believing in that stuff. And then all of a sudden this happens, and I just am like, what? And you know what? After being in London, there's some things that happen that I just can't explain.
So you're the daughter of a medium, which means that you're...
Oh, my God.
So you're... Exactly. Okay?
No.
So you just believing in ghosts, not claiming you can talk to ghosts, makes you the normal one in your family. So let me... So that, this is how you've normalized your belief in ghosts and the fact that you were in Kensington Palace and you're so special that you got touched by the royal ghost. Okay, so you've normalized this insanity.
I don't.
Yes, no. You do believe in ghosts.
I do not. Do not.
And can I tell you, I've been to so many places, all right, around the world where you're in somewhere decrepit. I remember crawling through a hole where I could barely breathe, Maury. crawling through a hole where I could barely breathe in the bottom of the Great Pyramid in Egypt. And through a translator, our tour guide looked at us all and said, "Watch out for ghosts," okay? It's what tour guides say to tourists.
Yeah. I don't know if I believe that, Brittany.
I swear, I promise you, some of the things that happened on that trip.
Okay,
just
but did you ask a question? Like, did you ask your tour guide which ghosts allegedly are floating around the palace like that?
No, they don't really like explain those things. It's just more like if you ask, they will tell you.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't even ask. I just kind of stood there and was like, "Oh, my head." And she was like, "Yeah, you know, that happens sometimes, especially in this area of the castle." Because it's so old.
Because it's so old. Because ghosts are only in old buildings, right?
Well, not at, not in
new, not in new buildings.
But a lot of people died, so yeah. That's why. Yeah, right. But it was in the Queen Victoria and Prince Albert suite.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, Brittany.
Thanks. Say hi to your mom for us, okay?
I will. Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Go through this story with you here.
Okay.
About how fans are getting scammed out of incredible amounts of money by fake celebrities online.
Oh, wow.
So for the record, Bruce Springsteen, still married. Bruce Springsteen, also worth about $460 million.
Yeah.
On Facebook, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of Bruce Springsteen pages.
Okay.
Fan pages, mirrored pages, everything else.
Yeah.
So in this article here, there's one woman named quote-unquote Mary, who I guess started exchanging messages and pictures with Bruce Springsteen over Facebook.
What kind of pictures?
Just pictures.
Okay.
Started off great, but then the tone, she says, became flirty. So now,
on
Facebook,
yeah.
Mary had been flirting with Bruce Springsteen
the boss
for a year.
Yeah.
Then Bruce told her that he was getting a divorce, but his wife had tied up all his bank accounts and that he needed money.
Bruce Springsteen, Mr. Born in the USA, needs money from Mary.
Yeah. And so what he suggested to Mary was that Mary send him iTunes gift cards.
Why? So he can download his own album?
Yeah. So she sent Bruce Springsteen iTunes gift cards, $400, $500, $600 worth, she said, over the course of a couple of weeks.
Then
fake Bruce Springsteen texted her a picture of a stack of gold, saying that he needed money to ship his gold back to New Jersey from Dubai. And the gold was worth millions. Mary says, my mind was just like so overwhelmed or maybe brainwashed or something, but I don't know. But I sent him money.
Oh, you stupid, Mary.
Mary sent Bruce Springsteen $11,500.
No!
So Bruce Springsteen could get his stack of gold from Dubai back to New Jersey because his wife was divorcing him and tied up all his bank accounts. Bruce Springsteen, by the way, as we said, happily married and worth $460 million.
Yeah, but you got to deposit that gold into Wells Fargo account.
Celeb, wouldn't you fall for the same thing if you thought you were talking to Bruce Springsteen?
Absolutely not.
I'm going to send Bruce Springsteen iTunes gift cards.
Like, I don't know.
For what purpose?
I chat with Devin Sawa all the time, and if he asked for like...
No, we're talking about celebrity.
But Maury, if he said, can you send me $50? I might do it.
But Maury, I believe that somebody like Devin Sawa could actually use $50. That's the difference, okay? Bruce Springsteen does not need iTunes gift cards from a woman that he flirts with on Facebook. So now we get to 78-year-old Adris Robbins, who struck up a friendly conversation on Facebook with Kenny Chesney.
Oh, no. Yeah.
When they asked Adris Robbins how much she sent Kenny Chesney altogether, she answered $10,000 altogether.
Oh my God. Kenny Chesney does not need that money from you.
Right? She said, I realize now that Kenny Chesney never needed my money, but of course it's too late. They did track the money and all that money winds up in China. They say imposter celebrity scams cost consumers $328 million in 2017 alone, with over 350,000 complaints.
Oh my God.
Is there any part of the story where Kenny Chesney or Bruce Springsteen reached out to these
people?
That's
the whole thing, is that celebrities now have started to post, there is only one account.
This
is the only account for fans. Please pass this along because that's what this is. 350,000 people were scammed by this last year, or people tried to scam them by this
last
year.
Did Bruce Springsteen ever get his gold from Dubai?
Apparently he did, yes.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All right, Roz, I got to make a phone call.
Sure, man.
This is not to your girlfriend this time.
Oh, thanks. Great.
That's later.
Shut up.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is it Sherry?
This is.
It's Roz and Mocha from Kiss 92.5. How are you?
Oh my God, good.
Got a email from your husband, Hunter.
Yes.
And he wanted us to call you to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
What's going on? Are you just waking up now?
I'm totally just waking up now, yes.
Oh, okay. What are your plans for your birthday today?
Well, I took the day off from work, so I'm going to hang out with him all day. Yeah.
All right.
Does so whatever stuff planned. I don't even know what he's got planned.
Oh, okay. So he's got stuff planned for you, but you don't know yet.
No.
All right. How long have you guys been married?
Actually, December will make it 1 year.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So do you know him pretty well that you may be able to figure out what your birthday is going to look like today?
I think so.
What do you think he's got planned?
Well, I asked him if we could do the shopping thing, and then he wanted to take me to a special dinner.
Okay, hold on here. What's the shopping thing?
So I wanted to go to, like, the Toronto Premier Outlet. That's what I wanted to do.
Oh, okay. The one
that's
up...
That's my plan. I don't know what...
The one up near Milton, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
What goes on there?
Dude, never seen the outlet there?
No.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's huge.
Oh, dude, massive. Every store you could think of.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Is it cheap?
Yeah, the prices are really, really good.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
I never knew about
this
place.
And, like, massive warehouses. They have Restoration Hardware Warehouse.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
It's so, dude, it gets so busy over there.
Yeah.
So the parking, and this is brand new, the outlets over there, right? Only a couple of years. But the parking lot was getting so busy, they had to go in, and I think, Sherry, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're still building the outdoor multi-level parking lot.
Jeez.
Because I don't think that they were anticipating the amount of people that were going to do outlet shopping out
really,
there.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah, I didn't know. Well, yeah, I think you should go there for sure.
Because normally you'd have to go all the way out to Niagara or even cross the border and go into Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, that's okay.
I
want
to
go
do a dinner there. There's a Jack Astor's right there.
Yeah, what a Jack Astor's. Love Jack Astor's. But
hell yeah, chicken fingers and fries, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, all right, well, my gosh.
Sherry, we just wanted to wish you a very happy birthday.
Well, we got to sing to her.
Of course we got to sing.
Oh, my gosh, thank you.
Oh.
Okay.
Now, are you serious about that, or are you just goofing on us?
Yeah, no.
All right, so. Maureen, there's your tone. And two, three, and.
Happy birthday to you. Nah, I don't like the way that started. Let's start again. That's what she said. Let's start again. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sherry. Happy birthday to you.
So much.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Inflation's a real weird thing, especially when, you know, when they start doing the highest grossing movies of all time.
Yeah.
They adjust it for inflation, meaning the dollar value that a movie like Star Wars made in 1975.
Here's how much it would make today.
Yeah, you can't just look at that dollar value because a dollar was much different in 1975.
Sure.
And so they went through and they figured out what $10 would be in the, I guess, decades of the year of your birth.
Oh.
So for instance, $10 in two. So $10 today in 2000 was roughly 15 bucks. It's worth.
What?
Yeah.
$10 today?
Yeah.
So was worth $15.
In the year 2000. Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah. $10 in 1990 would be like $20 now. $10 in 1980 would be like having $32 now.
Wow.
$10 in 1970 would be $67 now.
What?
And if you were born in the 60s, $10 in 1965 was the equivalent of $81 now.
Serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That seems like a pretty big jump.
Yeah, that's why houses were like
$2?
Like $65,000. You could buy one of those little bungalows up by the DVP.
For sure.
Right? $60,000 for a house.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How much my parents, I can't remember how much my parents paid
for. How long have they had their house?
30, that house out in Scarborough? Yeah. 32 years maybe?
32 years.
Maybe longer.
Wow. That's almost as long as Maury's mortgage.
Actually. Actually, I think like 35. Yeah, so Maury's mortgage, right, 35 Maury's years.
35. Maury got one of those last 35-year mortgages, by the way. You never paid that up.
Yeah, and that was how long ago? Like 10
come
years
on,
ago?
Come on in, Maury.
How long 10 years ago, right? Yeah. And you paid off what? Like at least of the years
how
worth?
Long? How long have you had your mortgage now?
We've had our mortgage for 8 years.
For 8 years.
And Matthew has said that we have made a huge dent.
Really?
Yeah.
A huge dent.
Like, what's a huge dent?
We paid off $100,000.
In how long?
8 years.
In 8 years.
But, like,
what's your interest rate on your mortgage?
I have no idea.
How do you not know what your interest rate is?
Is that towards the mortgage or towards the interest?
I have no idea. We owe, like, the amount that the condo was that we paid for it, it's now exactly $100,000 less that we owe.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, give or take a penny or two. But, like, we paid, like, Let's just say X amount.
Yeah.
Now it's like exactly X amount less.
I don't know what you just said.
I don't even think he knows what he just said.
But yeah, no, so the dollar value.
Like, it was better off living in the 70s.
What?
It was. You were better off in the 70s.
Well, no, because $10 was still $10.
Like, if you thought, like, it was like a, it was worth more.
Yeah, it was, sure, it was, yeah, it was worth more, but it was harder to get also.
Yeah.
But when you got it, boy, life was good.
But yeah, but you weren't making what you're making now. You would be making like $20,000.
Which was worth.
No, it was worth $20,000
at that time.
Oh, because I thought it was like, oh my God, if you had $20,000, it's worth $50,000.
No, we're not talking about
it. Your concept of math is...
In order for Maury to understand what we were just talking about, you would first need a time machine, Maury. Like, that's what you're trying to explain.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you do that Cardi B clip for me, Maury?
Well, I'm with Cardi B now.
What's that?
Is she pregnant again?
No. Oh. So let me run this by you. I want to get your opinion on this. So the headline was Cardi B makes history as the first female rapper with 3 number one hits on Billboard's Hot 100. Great.
Really?
I love Cardi B.
Yeah.
Love her. I love Cardi B. I think she's wildly talented and wildly entertaining. I love, just want to say that out of the gate here.
But
love Cardi B. So the first one was Bodak Yellow. Then I Like It.
Uh-huh.
Her third quote unquote number one is Girls Like You by Maroon 5.
I would argue, I would say she's part of a number one song. I wouldn't say that it's her number one song.
So here's Cardi B.
We out here in Paris and I'm so happy because Girls Like You is number one. This is my third number one. I don't give a if I'm a feature in that song, bitch. I'm on that shit, bitch. Let's go. Anyways, let me tell you the history on Girls Like You. This is very funny because my verse almost didn't got approved because I already did 2 pop records and my team felt like, yo, it's too early in your career to doing pop, 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 and you don't really got a lot of urban out like that. But I was like, yo, trust my judgment. Like, this is a motherfucking hit. And for some reason, when I heard this song the first time, it made me want to cry. Maybe because I was pregnant with a girl, and the words are just so beautiful.
Like, I love everything about her.
And here, number one, it took us a while because of that damn Drake blocking us. But we here.
So I think that when records matter, and I don't mean records as in like a music record, I think when you're keeping record of things and you're keeping record of achievements, and we are writing history of artists and what they've achieved, I don't see how you put Girls Like You as a number one in the history books for Cardi B.
But is it not like a goal assist? Like she
was part
of it.
No, but it's not her. It's not her. I could understand if it was a natural duet, if it was the song was designed that way. She comes in, does one verse, and it was right? This is not a Cardi B. It's not Maroon 5. It's not Adam Levine and Cardi B where they sat down and they created something.
Maroon 5 featuring
right.
Cardi B.
I
just
agree.
Like if Bruno Mars' Finesse hit number one on the Billboard charts,
yeah.
that would be Bruno Mars' number one song. It wouldn't be Cardi B's number one song.
Like she could show up to the party and celebrate. She's part of the song.
She's part right, of the song.
But we're
sure
not talking about that. We're talking about the
celebrate
record.
The song, I personally don't think, if you're a featured artist, that the credit of hitting number one should go to the featured artist.
Right. Well, that's just like how Nicki Minaj has like 70 songs in the yeah. in the top 10, like more than Miles Davis.
Right.
You know, because she's featured on sure. a lot of songs.
And it's not to take away from the fact that the feature in the song isn't an important part of the song.
Absolutely.
Or that it doesn't help propel the song.
Yeah. And
it's
I could even the
main artist or the main group.
But could she argue that if her part wasn't on it, then maybe the thing wouldn't be number
That's
one?
That's the argument, right?
Sure.
That's
yeah.
the argument.
Because then it's just Maroon 5. But maybe it's because featuring Cardi B, her fans are going to go buy it.
No, but also then you'd have to make the argument that there's no chance that this song would have gone number one without her.
Yeah.
Maybe
which,
not.
Which I don't think that there's...
It's Maroon 5. Are you kidding me?
That's what I mean. You have to. There's a case to be made that this song would be number one with or without Cardi B. Because it's a fantastic
but
song.
But her verse, it really adds some flavor.
Nah, I know, but the song, I could understand if this was a no-name band, but then you're giving credit, for Cardi B for
helping
Maroon 5.
Who clearly does not need
she
help.
She may say, yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy for and stuff, but I just think that when you're keeping records and achievements and writing history, you know, Bodak Yellow, yes, I like it, yes, but I don't think she can click this in the win column for Girls Like You.
No, I agree.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Let me read you this. I'm just going through this article on... Every other article I read is either a story on how to save money or a story on how to lose weight.
Okay.
Every other article that I read... This one is how to save money and lose weight.
Oh, two in one. That sounds like a lot of work.
Thank you.
I focus on both.
Whoever wrote this, I smell Pulitzer. So it's actually kind of interesting. So they're talking about how to lose money and save weight when you're at the grocery.
No, how to save money.
Sorry.
Money and lose weight.
Sorry, how did I say? How to lose money and save weight?
Yeah.
Ah, whatever.
I can tell you how to do that.
Yeah, me too. Maury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Preach, sister.
Preach. Okay, so... And it's a trick. It's not a strategy, but it's a trick.
Okay.
So a professional dietitian came up with a series of tweets on how to save money and lose weight all at the same time. And a lot of them are just very standard. Stick to your list when you go to the grocery store. Plan your meals out. Don't be afraid of frozen fruits and veg because they're just as good as fresh. So all that sort of standard stuff. But here's the new tip that I'll pass on from this person to you guys. When you go to the grocery store,
yeah,
stick to the outside. Only go down the aisles if you need something specific out of one of the aisles.
You know what?
Most of the fresh food,
yeah,
and healthy stuff is all around the perimeter of the grocery store, while most of the processed foods are in and around the aisles. So they said, try and do one instead of zigzagging up and down the aisles in the grocery store.
Yeah.
When you first go into the grocery store, just do a big loop. And when you get to the, when you do the full circle,
yeah,
see what else you need.
Without hearing you say that.
Yeah.
That's exactly how we grocery shop.
Is it?
My wife.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
Yeah.
When we go into the grocery store, we start in the produce.
Yeah.
Fruits and produce. Yeah, and then we make our way to
cheese.
And then get to the meat, and then we go to the front.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, well, we need this one thing from this aisle.
Can of tomatoes or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we just go strictly to that aisle and then leave. But we're never like zigzagging.
But they say what will make you broke and make you gain weight when it comes to grocery shopping and your shopping habits is zigzagging up and down the aisles.
And how else are you supposed to get the chips and chocolate?
Exactly. Well, that's the problem.
But once you do the circle and you're like, oh, no, chips and chocolate, then you go down aisle five.
Yeah. But I'm like, well, I need to go to the aisle five for chips and chocolate.
But then you're part of the other list, which is, you know, stick to your list, make meal plans. Like if you're making meal plans and you have chips and chocolate in your meal plan, I don't think saving money and losing weight is part of your plan.
And where I go, ice cream is on the outside.
Right.
Oh no!
Ice cream's on the outside.
Yeah, the freezers wrap around one of the corners. So hey, I'll follow his thing then stick to the outside.
Yeah, no, but that's really interesting though, because you're right. If you shop like that, Mocha. Because I'm trying to think of most grocery stores, when you walk in, you walk right into produce, right?
Yeah. Always.
Most grocery stores, yeah. You walk right into produce. And then usually like a bread section.
Yeah.
So mine, it's produce, meat, dairy, cheese.
Meat?
Meat is right after produce, like the meat and fish.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's okay. Then it's dairy, then it's bread, then cash registers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but also, you know what else is on that outside normally?
What?
Hot dogs.
Oh.
You know what else is on that outside normally? Hot dog buns.
Oh, now you're talking.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Press conference went down yesterday. Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, of course, everyone eager to see him in that jersey.
Yeah.
Officially.
For as long as he wears it.
For as long as he wears it,
yeah.
Until he goes off to LA next year.
Yeah.
As the speculation is. But who knows, right? And since that big trade in July, DeMar DeRozan going to San Antonio and Kawhi Leonard coming to Toronto, we haven't heard anything from Kawhi.
Nothing.
Literally, no words out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Other than people say that he wasn't happy with the trade,
yeah,
or he wasn't happy with coming to Toronto.
And it was interesting because it happened right around the same time that John Tavares was signed to the Leafs. And it was the exact complete opposite reactions from both the fans and the players involved in both those two deals. Complete opposite.
So we heard from Kawhi yesterday. And man, oh man, did we ever hear from Kawhi yesterday.
Oh no.
Because the narrative changed from Kawhi Leonard finally speaks to Kawhi Leonard, what the hell is up with that laugh, bro?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. It started to trend on Twitter. Oh,
so he was laughing at
People
least.
People were commenting on Instagram. Just listen to this. All right. Because everyone wants to know about Kawhi because nobody knows anything about Kawhi.
A lot of people up here don't know much about you. How would you describe yourself, and what would you like people to know about you?
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more question you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
That's a great laugh.
I know, but people were like, I don't know what it was. Maybe because it was the very first time we'd ever heard Kawhi speak,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
And like the city was literally on the edge of their seats, like waiting to hear from this man.
Yeah.
And the one thing, because he's got this stone cold face,
yeah,
you see like zero expression whatsoever. All of a sudden he smiles, you see his teeth, and you hear his laugh. So
that reporter had a whistle talk too, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I kind of went through and gathered some of the funniest comments.
Okay.
People referencing Kawhi Leonard's laugh.
Yeah,
he laughs like he's got four bodies that nobody knows about. When you mix a laugh with a cough. Someone else wrote, he Googled how to laugh last night.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been so long since he laughed, he doesn't know how to do it anymore. This guy sounds like he's in a sunken place.
Oh, no.
Sounded like he hiccuped mid-laugh. Somebody else wrote, yeah, y'all got jokes until he leaves for L.A.
It's true.
He ain't staying in Toronto. It is confirmed with that laugh. Man, looks like it hurts to laugh. Man is laughing in a different language. Sound like he crying and laughing at the same time. When someone puts a gun to your head, it tells you to laugh. Sounds like a broken down car trying to start up again.
Oh. Come on,
that
man.
Laugh sounds like it needs an oil change and air filter because it's been a while. And finally, by the way, these are all comments from people in Toronto, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Sounds like my laugh when my mom pinches me under the table for not smiling around my distant cousins. Welcome to Toronto, Kawhi Leonard!
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm always amazed when I learn something new about Moore, because I thought I had him figured out, because really there's only three things to learn about him.
Well, I only know one.
I learned something about Moore today. So we're driving to work. He drives me in every morning, in case you don't know that. And Moore is not the greatest driver in the world.
I've never been in an accident.
Never signals. And I've been in the car with him for 15 minutes. He never once checks the rearview mirror. But when it's raining, pouring rain.
Yeah.
And you know that Maury doesn't just put the windshield wipers on? He lets the windshield fill up with rain, and then he just does the thing where he clicks it once and then off again.
Why?
I don't know why.
That's very weird.
Yeah, because you know, like, you
so
have
it's
the
pouring rain.
Yeah.
Everybody else around you on the highway, windshield wipers go, because you can just turn them on and they will do their thing.
Of course.
So we're on the highway. It's going, raining, like hard rain. And Maury waits until he cannot see out of the windshield, flips it up so it does one pass, and then turns it off again.
That's
and then
weird.
Lets the windshield fill back up with rain.
Why would you do that?
Because I don't like when it just keeps going back and forth. I like to, you know, control when it goes. It's the only thing in my life I can control.
You know that with your windshield wipers, you can control the speed.
Not mine. I had to pay extra for that.
Excuse me?
What?
Like, mine doesn't have the timer. Like, it's like you can go oscillated where it does it, like, it'll stop.
No,
and
but
then
there's like a little
and
dial.
Then faster and then no, mine does not have the dial.
I promise you it does.
I've looked everywhere for the dial, okay, so my finger's the dial.
No, but you have speeds on it.
Yeah, but what Mocha's talking about where you can control the oscillation.
You can. No. You have speeds on yours.
Yeah, that's the normal, then fastest. But Mocha's talking about where you can even slow it down even more.
No.
Yeah, I don't have that.
I'm pretty sure you do. I think that you just don't know your car. You don't know your vehicle.
I know my car better than anybody knows my car.
When I had to come help you change your flat tire, you didn't even know where the jack was. You didn't even know what the hell a jack was.
Right. That is true.
That's true.
Yes.
That's very true.
That's true. Anyway, I found it very interesting. One at a time with the windshield wipe. One at a time.
That's so weird, yeah, man.
It gives you something to do.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Lily Bernard is on hold, Roz.
Lily, back in the 90s, had said that Bill Cosby drugged and raped her. Of course, yesterday it all went down. Cosby finally sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison, meaning that I don't think he'll be eligible for parole for quite some time. So, Lily Bernard, this has to be a fantastic day. You want to talk to her?
Hi, Lily. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, Roz and Mocha. How are you?
Doing great. Right off the bat, you sound like in a 10 times better mood than you would have sounded any other day the past couple of years.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's a new day.
How are you feeling this morning? Have you had a chance to just sort of sit with either your family or other victims and kind of go through what this means?
Oh, I love that question. I haven't seen my family yet because they're in Los Angeles and I'm here in New York City, but I did spend a lot of time with maybe 15, 17 of the other victims.
Yeah.
And they were at the courthouse. Afterwards, we gathered for a meal, but yeah, it's surreal for me, at least. You know, I just never in my life expected that this moment would come.
Lily, were you at the courthouse yesterday?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was in and outside of the courthouse in the torrential rain. It was like this baptism, you know, when we came out.
What was the general conversation before the verdict was read versus what happened right after?
I would say that we were all pretty much skeptical. Mm-hmm. I was keeping my expectations low, as were some of my survivor sisters. And never once did I expect that he would hand down a maximum sentence of 10 years, never once. And he gave, of course, a minimum sentence of 3 years, which means he has to serve 3 years before even being eligible for parole. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us talked about that. We will be there every step of the way when those 3 years are up to testify to the parole board as to why he should continue to remain in prison. I looked at it as an absolutely landmark decision in the history of gender equality and women's rights.
As monumental as this is because it's Bill Cosby, I still think, and maybe you disagree with me on this. I still think that the headlines for this are wrong, and they're not nearly, there's a part of the story that's missing. There's a narrative to this that's missing. And yes, Bill Cosby is going to jail, and he was America's dad, and he's an icon, and people love him. But we haven't yet dug into the fact that what we witnessed yesterday was quite possibly the most notorious serial rapist in the history of America was finally put in jail.
Yeah.
Because I have never read another story or another account or another court case where somebody had 60 accusers against them. 63 accusers.
63 publicly known accusers. And I know four or five other women personally who were also abused sexually by Bill Cosby and have not come public. And some of them are celebrities.
He may be the most notorious serial rapist in American history.
I absolutely agree with you. And that's a really good point you made. You're the first reporter that heard say that.
Like, this is bigger than just Bill Cosby. This is monumental.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Much bigger than Bill Cosby.
And it sounds weird to say congratulations, but congratulations. I don't know what other word to use at this point. Best of luck to you, and you know, continue with your life.
Thank you.
Start the healing process and spend some time with your family.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your sensitivity.
Damn, girl, you sound so happy today. I gotta tell you,
right? With my sleep deprivation and all. I'm about to get on Democracy Live this morning. So, yeah. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Lily Bernard.
It took a Canadian family to do it, right?
Yeah.
A Canadian family.
Yeah, Andrea. We can't forget about Andrea in this conversation either.
You guys are progressive.
We appreciate your time, Lily. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All right. Take care, you guys.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So we all know that, damn it, Maury, come in here for a second, please, my love.
We do know, damn it, Maury.
Maury has a fake manager.
Do you mean my buddy Mark Bentley?
Yeah, Mark Bentley, who is actually Maury, and he has like a Twitter account and everything else.
Let's just say allegedly.
Allegedly.
And not allegedly, it's there. Mark Bentley tweeted Halle Berry last year during TIFF asking if she needed new representation. It's out in the world.
People who Mark might call might listen. Right. We don't need to ruin this.
Right, so Mark Bentley does things like call ahead to hotels for Maury, says it's his birthday. Even though you have to show ID when you check in to get a better room and champagne and everything else.
But it always works.
Mark Bentley has got Maury perks on airplanes. Mark Bentley has done a lot of stuff for Maury.
Mark Bentley's currently working on my New York trip this Christmas.
Right.
Oh, no.
Lady Gaga, who is a superstar, probably going to win an Academy Award this year, doing the rounds promoting A Star Is Born. And she's on Ellen today. And let me play you this clip of Lady Gaga on Ellen talking about when she was just starting out in the game.
Well, you know, when I started my career, I mean, when I decided around 19 years old that I was going to go for it as a singer because I couldn't get any jobs as an actress. And, you know, I just hit the pavement running and I was dragging my piano around New York City, banging on doors. And I would call up and I'd be like, hello, this is Lady Gaga's manager and she's really hot right now. And we would like the 10 p.m. slot for her. You know, if you can fit her in. And I used to just like, I pretend that I was my own manager.
Right.
Try to get the best gig that I could.
Oh!
All right, little monster. So,
can I tell you?
Yes.
A real life Lady Gaga story. So when Gaga was first starting out.
Yeah.
Just Dance, her first single with Akon, was just released.
Yeah.
And she was making the rounds. I was working at a radio station in Kitchener at the time, and she showed up at the radio station for an interview. We had a great chat, talked and everything, right? She was going to do a show that night at a small club, maximum like 300 people.
Sure.
Right? So the general manager of the radio station called me and said, hey, can you get me an autograph for this new Lady Gaga person?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, no problem. I totally forgot to get the autograph.
Right.
And he called me and said, hey, did you get me that autograph? And I was like, yeah, boss, I did. I'm going to leave it on your desk.
No.
So I took
no.
the CD that no. the record label had brought, opened the CD,
right.
took the cover out, and signed in silver Sharpie, Lady Gaga, thank you for the support. And to this day,
yeah,
to this day, he has no idea, and I think he has it framed at home.
Okay, so what we've learned right now is that Lady Gaga at one time pretended to be her own manager. Damn it, Maury has frequently pretended to be his own agent, and you at one time pretended to be Lady Gaga?
You win.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You ever miss a flight before?
Yes.
Multiple times?
Yeah. It's no big deal, though. It sucks when you miss a flight and you're going on vacation, but I've missed flights for work before.
Yeah.
It's a much different vibe. Like, you miss a flight when you're flying for work, I really don't care. Like, I'm not running. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not killing myself in a snowstorm to try and make a flight for work.
There's a guy in Dublin, Ireland, who was arrested because he missed his flight. He didn't make the plane on time. And instead of trying to figure out an alternate plan, maybe get on another flight, he decides to run out of the airport onto the tarmac after the plane that he was to be on and try to flag down the pilot.
Tried to hail a plane.
To be like, yo, fam, can you stop and let me on?
No.
And two police cars went after him.
Yeah.
And the cops jumped out and pinned him to the tarmac.
Yeah.
Because you can't run after a plane after it's about to leave.
There's one rule. There's one rule in an airport. All right? There's one rule in an airport. There's a lot of rules in an airport, but there's one thing you should always keep in mind in an airport. When you are in an airport,
yeah,
you should never encounter a door that you have to open on your own. If you do, you will be beat to the ground.
Yes.
Right? You will never encounter a door in an airport that you have to open on your own. If you're allowed to walk through, it's going to open automatically for you. You should never have to open a door. I'm guessing this guy probably opened about three on his own.
On his own.
On his own. Yeah, you don't do that.
I assume with his carry-on.
Yes.
Right? Maybe a knapsack or a work bag
that
or whatever.
That stupid pillow thing around his neck.
That stupid pillow thing still around his neck. But yeah, tried to hail.
No.
As if it were a cab.
No.
An airplane to be like, please stop and let me on because I missed my flight.
No. Like if a bus driver won't even do that.
Yeah.
Like TTC drivers.
You think a plane is going to do that?
No. When a TTC driver closes that door,
looking at you dead in the eye.
Dead in the eye. No, you get the next one, Holmes.
Yeah. I got to make my time here.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So Alex Trebek did this whole thing. He came back after the summer and he showed up on set of Jeopardy with a beard.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, why don't you go to, I think it was our Facebook page, and vote as to whether I should keep the beard or not. And this was presumably going to go on for a little while. And then Stephen Colbert came back with a beard. And then he started challenging Alex Trebek. And it was going to, it had the potential to be this like real fun thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then Alex goes on TV. When was this from Friday, Maury? The Alex Trebek thing, when's it from? Friday? Is this when that happens? So Friday, Alex goes on TV and says this.
Sorry to have to tell you folks, but voting is now closed, and we've determined that the winner is my wife, Jean. She voted for me to be clean shaven, and so that's it.
Right?
Oh, no! So even if the fans voted for him to keep the beard...
It all meant nothing.
It meant nothing because his wife was like, "Yeah, I prefer you without."
Yeah, and I have a problem with that. I have a problem with, there's a lot of women who don't like beards, and that's fine. But this idea that you can force somebody to shave a beard is preposterous to me.
That's crazy.
Right?
Though.
That would be like a guy saying, I don't like kissing you with lipstick. Because that's always the thing, is I don't like kissing you with a beard. It's like saying, I don't like you kissing with lipstick. Don't wear lipstick anymore. You'd be murdered if a guy said that to a woman. If a guy told a woman not to wear lipstick anymore, oh my God. It would be a delete so-and-so day on social media. Like, you wouldn't be able to, you can't say that, right?
About the Alex Trebek thing, was this like I'm going to take it to the audience, because you'd assume they would have had a conversation about it at home before he ever took it to a vote.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So it's almost like, was it a spite thing?
I know,
thing?
It's weird. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened, but they were setting this up like it was going to be something, like it was going to be a thing where they would do a tally and then a reveal and whatnot, but he just fully,
for a few weeks.
He just fully came out and did my wife doesn't like my beard.
Oh,
you
Alex,
know, on television,
you,
right?
Like, I was quite disappointed in that. I was expecting, like, some real big cool thing, or that he would show up on Colbert and they'd both do something together. I don't know. But the my wife won't let me have a beard thing is kind of, I don't know, it's weak. It's weak.
Kind of a cop-out.
Yeah.
Or I wonder if he, like, really didn't like the beard and he was like, I'm just going to say.
But then he wouldn't have grown it all summer.
I think he liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he liked it.
I think everybody liked it.
You ever known a man to grow a beard who didn't like it?
No.
Yeah. No.
Also, a white beard, that's something special.
Right. Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We got some things to celebrate today.
Another new pair of tight pants.
Yes. No, today is National Pancake Day. Today is a Fitness Day. But most importantly, Maury.
Fitness.
It's really cruel that Fitness Day and National Pancake Day fall on the same day. But anyway,
well,
also,
you eat the carbs, you work the carbs off.
Exactly. So also, Love Note Day. This day is best celebrated by telling someone you love them by writing a message of love in a form of a note. So Maury has penned a love note today.
I sure have.
Now, do you want to tell us who this is for at the top, or do you want to
let
wait?
I'll let you know.
Okay. So, what do you need any special kind of music for that? Oh, Mocha's already on it. Never mind, Maury.
That's nice. Dearest T.
T. Oh, so it's not about me.
Oh, somebody about.
I don't want to do this anymore. Anyway, I wanted to.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Dearest T.
Yeah.
Wait, is this a person who's their first name?
How about you just let me read this?
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Just sit back, man.
Dearest T, on Love Note Day, I echo what I've said to you every day. You are the electricity that flows through me, that sends me shivers of joy and quivery bliss. I love that you go everywhere with me, and I can always count on you in private, public, and under my sleeve.
Oh.
Whether it's wet or dry, you never disappoint. When my husband sleeps, you're awake. When my family bores me, you keep me entertained. You're under the table. You're in my bed. I love you always, finger tickles.
Ew. Excuse me?
What?
Who is that to?
Finger tickles.
What's finger tickles? Is that like
when I
you actually tickling yourself, or you know somebody named Finger Tickles?
No, when I tickle myself.
Oh.
Wait, so...
The title, by the way, is Love Note to My Finger Tickles.
So you wrote a love note to yourself?
Nope.
Wait,
I
don't
finger
get it.
Tickles.
So what's T?
Tickles.
Tickles.
It's, you know, like a pet name.
Now let me see, have Dearest Tickles.
Yeah.
So, why don't you just call it Dearest Tickles?
Well, because I call him T.
Right.
And it's a he.
Of course.
Okay, so let's
I'm not
just,
let a
can
woman
just
tickle
explain
my arm.
Something really quickly to people. So Maury has a thing that he does, which is he compulsively tickles his own forearm.
My right forearm.
Yeah. Don't talk sexy to me, Maury. Okay, we're done with that.
With
also,
music.
Do you remember when Maury was reading that poem? And he put a sexy accent on only certain words. I find it odd.
I don't want to point that out.
That you didn't put the sexy accent on wet. You put it on dry. I don't know if anybody else caught
Listen,
that. I caught that.
Yeah,
anyway, there are a lot of things I caught. But I don't want to point them
out. Whether it's wet or dry.
Right. Yeah. Don't do that. It's so off-putting to people. And you're tickling your arm as you tell this story right now. But you can't tickle yourself. Science has proved that you can't actually tickle yourself. You don't.
Science.
It doesn't prove. You can't tickle your own arm.
Science, my friend, is wrong.
Okay. Wow.
Because I'm doing it right now.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you see the Joker over the weekend?
Did I see the Joker?
The pictures of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker?
Yeah, I kind of dig it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it. And I know that it was just a test shot. So if you haven't seen it on social, on I guess it was maybe Saturday, they released test footage of Joaquin Phoenix, who's in the new Joker movie. And he's standing there just looking like Joaquin Phoenix with a haircut that looks like Lord Farquaad from Shrek. And then they're sort of spinning a like film footage around him, so it's like almost superimposed on his face, and then at the end of it you see Joaquin Phoenix there in just sort of clown makeup, and then he does a laugh and an eyebrow lift and then a serious look,
I kind of dig it.
And Joaquin Phoenix psycho anyway. Like, sure. That dude is just, I don't know how
he... So he might be perfect for it.
So he might be perfect for it. But I don't mind it. And I will remind people, and I know everybody's, and it should be, everybody's favorite Joker, the greatest Joker of all time was Heath Ledger's Joker.
Without a doubt.
Without question. And everybody forgets the fury and absolute disdain when it was announced that Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker. People lost their minds.
For sure. I remember that.
It was the biggest mistake anybody had ever made in the history of cinema when they cast Heath Ledger as the Joker.
And then once we all watched that movie.
Yeah.
It was like collectively we all took a step back and we're like, whoa.
Oh, hell. Yeah, exactly.
We were wrong.
Yeah, we're like, look at that. 10 things I hate about you? Wow.
The last night? Wow.
Broke back what?
Broke my face with the truth.
Yeah, so I kind of dig it. I don't mind it. And the guy who's directing it, what's that cat's name again? I can't remember. Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
Who did all the Hangover movies, but he also did... the movie with was it Jonah Hill and who else was in that movie where they sold guns?
Was it War Dogs? Right?
Yeah. So he did that movie, and
that was a great movie.
It's really great.
I was actually surprised by how much I
like
that movie.
Yeah, like that movie's really great. So I know that you Todd Phillips, and you have this thing of like, the Hangover's directing the Joker movie, but watch War Dogs because it's really great.
I'm still, you know, kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
About the actual Joker movie, but Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, just based on that, you know, couple seconds that we saw of him in the makeup, I dig the makeup, but obviously it's the whole story that's going to have to play into the decision as to whether or not I'm down with this, right?
And I think that it really helps too, is at least when it comes to the actor who plays a role like the Joker, that they're a complete introvert.
Yeah.
You know, Heath Ledger was the same way. Heath Ledger was a complete introvert. And so you didn't really have a good handle on Heath Ledger. You never really saw him like talk and hang out. He never really seemed like a fun guy.
Yeah.
And Joaquin Phoenix is the same way.
Yeah.
And so I think you need to be that guy. Like, I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal could play the Joker.
No. Somebody like Joaquin Phoenix, you don't know when you see him in an interview or on a red carpet or whatever.
You don't see him in interviews.
You don't know if, or of the ones that he's doing, you don't know if he's being like serious or if he's playing up a role.
Yeah.
Like he's not, I don't know. He's kind of weird.
And even when Jared Leto did the Joker in Suicide Squad, Jared Leto hadn't done a movie in like 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't really have a good handle on Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Right?
I still haven't seen that movie.
I'm sorry. He did Dallas Buyers Club, and then he came back and did the Joker.
Was it that long?
Yeah. He did Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
So he hadn't done a movie in like 7 years. Then he did Dallas Buyers Club.
Which
then
I saw.
Then he immediately did the Joker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, again, so like total like, you know, introvert, not like you don't have a real good handle on these guys. So I'm digging it. I like it. I'm looking forward to the Joker movie, man.
So I'm sure they're going to be releasing more footage,
hopefully,
over the next little while.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
See, Akon launching his own cryptocurrency.
Excuse me?
Called Acoin.
Oh, stop it.
I swear. He announced it like last week.
Really?
Acoin. His very own cryptocurrency in Africa.
I don't hear a lot of stories about crypto anymore.
Only is people this, who like getting ripped off and stuff.
Is it still around? Like, is it still as prevalent as it always has been? Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, every day I would have to sort of go through and sift through all the crypto stories to try and make sense of it all.
Akon says, so what you're investing in is the future of Africa when you invest in Acoin. I realize that this crypto is going to be the future in currency. I just watch how things change drastically. Crypto is going to be the next digital currency. So if you invest in that now, if you don't see that coming, you're a fool.
That's crazy. How much do you have in crypto, Maury?
I'm not 100% sure.
Maury invested in Bitcoin like right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Small amount though, like $60, right?
Yeah, back then.
And then he forgot his password. And what we've learned is that once you forget your password, there's no way to get it back.
Yeah. What I've come to realize is that I'm a millionaire that will never be a millionaire.
You're not a millionaire.
You're not a millionaire, though.
The turnover has not been that great.
Yeah. And it was only $60 that you invested.
But it could be.
No, you couldn't be. The numbers don't work.
Mathematically, you cannot be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Maybe you hit three digits. Maybe.
Like three digits before or after the decimal point.
Maybe you're at like $100. Maybe. I don't even think you're up at 100
yet.
It's
one of those fantasies. It could be whatever I want it to be, but I'll never get it.
Like your marriage. Come on. Honestly, at least laugh at that. That was funny.
Stop, everyone. I got to make a call.
I thought he was going to make a call.
This is 911. Do you have an emergency?
Yeah, David Moore was burned like real bad.
All right. Help is on the way.
Okay. No, I don't think that the math works that way. So if you invested like $60, what was it, $60?
Yes, $60.
Yeah, Canadian. I don't think the math works that you'd be, maybe you'd have like a grand. Like, I don't know.
But
I don't know
what the. Back at the beginning. So everyone's been texting me, telling me that I'm a millionaire.
No, who texted you?
Show me one text right now.
DJ Climax wrote me going, you could be a millionaire. We're going to Vegas.
He's
hotel rooms on you.
He's
so who else? Who else?
You.
Just the one.
Right. So why'd you say everyone?
Because I didn't think you'd call me out on it.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So today was National Pancake Day.
I love pancakes. And pancakes are, oh God.
So a new survey for National Pancake Day was released. And they say, it was an American survey. Which percentage of Americans said clearly, full stop, that they do not like pancakes?
Zero. You have to be nuts to not like pancakes.
I don't like pancakes.
You don't like pancakes?
No, I don't like pancakes.
Why?
I don't really like it. It's too cakey, too sweet, too...
It's too fluffy and good?
No, I don't like pancakes. I will choose no breakfast if pancakes were the only option.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's just because you've not had a good pancake.
Don't be the weed guy, Maury. When I say I don't like weed, it makes me sick. And like, oh, you just never smoked the right weed, man. All right, don't be the weed guy. I've tried good pancakes. Yeah, no, I don't like pancakes. So 7% of Americans said that they don't like pancakes, including 2%. I would be in this 2% that actually said they quite hate pancakes.
You hate pancakes that much?
62% think that what is the best topping on pancakes? 62% think is what is the best topping on pancakes?
Strawberries.
Syrup.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say blueberries.
I was going to say whipped cream.
Whipped cream?
No, that's for waffles.
What are you doing to her breakfast? What are you guys doing? You're going
I'm not saying I enjoy it. My perfect pancake is either with peanut butter on it or Nutella on it, maybe some fruits, maybe some, what do you call it? Like blueberry. What is it called when they take the blueberries and they boil them and it turns into a syrupy and.
Garbage. Oh, not garbage.
Compote?
Compost?
Oh, gross.
Not compost.
Compo? Compe? I don't know. But I thought this was weird when I read it, but you just confirmed it, Mocha, which is I was shocked when they said that 4% of people put peanut butter on pancakes.
Yeah, we do that.
So good.
We do that and then cinnamon on. Then you put peanut butter, bananas, and cinnamon on top.
Cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
You say cinnamon weird, bro.
Cinnamon?
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 Cinnamon.
This guy.
You just can't have a normal conversation with you in the room.
The Roz and Mocha Show. Podcast.
I want to tell you a story of a triathlete who got kicked out of a sushi, all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant.
Because he's a triathlete? That seems unfair.
A German triathlete by the name of Jaroslav Bobrowski was kicked out and banned from an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet.
Because he ate too much? Please.
Because he ate.
No.
How many plates you think?
No. So how many pieces of sushi are on a plate?
That I don't know. Oh. Yeah, I mean, the sushi, various sizes. But how much sushi, how many plates of sushi do you think it would take to get somebody kicked out and banned for life?
Jeez. I don't know. Like
100.
100? Okay. When you guys start getting into triple digits eating anything, unless it's rice, I'm like, okay, that's too much, bro.
He says he thinks that he ate at least 18 pounds of sushi that day.
Oh, my God.
The restaurant's owner told media, local media, he eats for five people. That is not normal.
Oh, my God.
He was no longer allowed to dine at that restaurant. He's a former bodybuilder and current Ironman triathlete.
Yeah.
Says that he does follow a very unusual diet. He restricts himself from eating for 20 hours.
Oh, so he fasts.
And then eats until he's stuffed to maintain his 10% body fat. And sometimes that means eating up to 100 plates of sushi.
That is crazy.
200 pieces of sushi at a total cost of $18.
Hold on a second here.
200 pieces of sushi at a cost of $18.
And I mean, I know sushi is not that expensive, but 200 pieces of sushi. 200.
He goes to this restaurant a lot. And the restaurant owner was like, listen, it's cool that you come here to visit, but financially, yeah, we as a restaurant for you, one individual, cannot afford to have you eating here, the amount of food that you eat. So we're going to have to ask you. Yeah, it's very bad for business. So we're going to have to ask you very nicely to never come here again.
God, those athletes, when they start eating, when they're training, is incredible. Like, it's just incredible how much food that they can pack away.
Sometimes, like, so The Rock, one of my favorite people in the universe, I follow him. He's like strict diet, right?
Yeah, it's like two steaks for breakfast and, you know, pasta.
On his cheat days,
it's like going to Jollibee.
Yeah, yeah. But on his cheat days, right? Like, he posted the other day, like, look at all this sushi. This is one of his cheat meals, right?
Yeah.
Look at all this sushi. And we're not talking like tiny, tiny pieces. Oh, we're talking like big,
he's got some fried stuff in there too,
and
right?
Sushi that's got stuff on top of it. Yeah, like, that's a heavy, heavy meal right there.
I've never sat in front of me to have a meal where I need three full-size dinner plates to hold all my food. You know what I mean?
I will say this.
that's when you're eating for a family at that point.
I remember in, I don't know, 06, 07, five of us went to a Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Them and we were there for 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Yeah. We were there taking our time. We'd eat, drink a glass of water, sit down, talk, get up,
go for
get
more.
Something else, sit down, talk some more, get up, go somewhere else, stuff by the end of it.
See, I'll tell you, when you go to a Chinese buffet, I always make the mistake. I'm good if I just stick to the wings, right? If I'm doing like the Chinese wings and rice, I'm good. You know what's the killer is?
What?
As soon as you put one of those bloody little chicken balls in your mouth.
Oh,
that's the killer.
Over.
It's over.
You're right.
It's over. You're done.
You dab a little sauce on it.
Chicken balls last at the buffet.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kanye West lately has been all over Instagram, all over Twitter. Everything from talking about music to fashion to nonsense. And yesterday, he hit everyone with a message to Drake. This comes like 2 weeks after he posted a picture of Drake standing on stage during his tour and being like, yo, the tour looks amazing. The set looks amazing. I can't wait to check
it
out.
My man.
Right?
Can't wait to go.
I can't wait. I'm going to show up to one of your shows within the next 10 days.
Yeah.
Right? 10 days has passed. Kanye's hasn't shown up. And then yesterday, you would think, like up until yesterday, you would think everything was okay between Drake and Kanye West.
Yeah.
And then Kanye went on Instagram and had a message for Drake.
Now, the next thing is with Drake. What I'm looking for my spirit to take accountability is the fact that it's people making rumors or thinking that you my wife and you're not saying nothing and you carrying it like that, that don't sit well with my spirit. You know, if I had a girlfriend from Chicago, her name was Renita, and then you was married to Rihanna, I wouldn't make no song called Riri. So when you're like, oh, I don't know where it come from, you too smart for that, bro. You know where that come from. Don't make no record with nothing that could be confused. So I did tell you not to do that. So period, it's like, don't speak on none of nobody from my family, nothing that could be even mentioned with my wife. Period. We don't have to talk again. I'm not giving no energy to that, but I'm telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, so I don't know why or how the Kiki thing came up again in the past like week and a half, because I thought that we all discovered back in July who Kiki was.
No.
Because people were speculating it was Keisha Shante because they're friends, they knew each other from back in the day. People speculated it was Kim Kardashian because her nickname is Kiki.
Yep.
But I specifically remember there was a girl that everyone, it was like mid-July, and maybe this story just flew right by everyone, but claiming this is the real Kiki. And yeah, then she even went on Instagram and on Twitter and said, yes, I am the girl that Drake is talking about in the song because we used to have a relationship back in the day.
Right, but it only matters if Drake says it. Doesn't matter what some, doesn't matter what some, exactly.
Drake doesn't say anything.
It doesn't matter what some, it doesn't matter what some girl says. It doesn't matter. All I said, things that are fact is that Kim Kardashian has said that her nickname around the house is Kiki and yes, Kourtney's is Coco.
Yes.
And that's fact.
Yes.
Right? So we know that. And I went through the conspiracy theory like deep when everybody was like, Kiki is Kim, and there's things all throughout Scorpion that allude to Drake and Kim Kardashian smashing. Like, there's people pulled like lines out of it, like exactly how he gets from his house to her house. There's a line of like turning left at whatever. There's all
if
this
you
stuff.
Listen to the song 8 out of 10. That's if that is not a message to Kanye and throwing in Kim Kardashian,
right?
I don't know what is.
Thank you.
And if you listen to quote unquote side A of that Scorpion album,
yeah,
at some point today, with this in your mind, go listen to side A of Scorpion.
Yeah.
And think about every single one of those songs. Drake is talking directly to Kanye West and to Kanye only.
People pulled pictures of Kim Kardashian. She posted a pic of herself in like a pool in a white bikini, leaning back, looking good. And then she captioned the photo, "I'm really shy." And then right after that, Drake posted on his IG a picture of him on stage pointing out at the crowd, and his caption on that post was, "I'm shy."
Things are getting interesting.
Right?
Things are getting interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But I understand. I understand where Kanye's coming from. I really do. I'm like, listen, we have wives and girlfriends, husbands, whatever it is, who had a sexual history, and that's fine. They were grown people. And they're loving people, and they're passionate people, and they're sexual people. When you get somebody and you find them and you love them, they're going to have a sexual history in most cases.
Yeah.
But I understand what Kanye is coming from, which is like he understands that Kim had that. There's video evidence that we can all see proof that Kim had that relationship with other people in the past. But I understand what Kanye is saying, which is stop talking about it.
Right.
Okay, she's my wife now. Right. We have two children together. Okay, stop trolling me with the fact that you smashed my wife. That's not cool anymore, which I agree with Kanye on that, unless it's still happening.
But Drake's shy, don't forget.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I misread this, and it sounded far more interesting than what it actually is. I have something here that I wanted to play for you, and I've had it all morning, and I just never got to it.
That's what she said.
And I thought it read, "Flying sausages sound like screaming people."
What?
And I thought, man, I can't wait to hear this. But early on this morning, I misread it. And I've in my head, it's been flying sausages, but it's frying sausages sound like screaming people.
Frying. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So someone posted a video where they're frying sausages in a pan. And I guess the sausage casing, when you fry a sausage, I love a sausage. Mm. The sausage casing, when the casing starts to expand with air inside of it and all them sausage juice,
yeah,
little holes start to develop.
and the air escapes the sausage at that time.
Yeah.
And it makes a noise depending on the temperature you're cooking, depending on the thickness of the sausage. I like a thick sausage.
Yeah.
Depending on the thickness of the sausage. And this guy recorded it, and it's actually quite horrifying. So this is a flying sausage sounding like screaming people.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it really does. It's... Oh my God.
It sounds, sounds like a school's on fire.
No, it sounds like when a roller coaster is going by.
Yeah.
And people are screaming.
Yeah, I'll see.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Maury, so Maury,
get my journal. I'm going to write my new book, Haunted Sausage.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Dung and Donuts in the States.
Dung and Donuts?
Dunkin'.
Oh.
You know Dunkin' Donuts? I know we don't have it up here, but...
Yeah, we do.
Where?
Is there not? I thought, swear to God, we had a Dunkin' Donuts up here.
Where?
Yeah, I've seen one before.
The only Dunkin' Donuts I've ever been to is when I cross the border into Buffalo, which stinks, by the way, and go to the outlet mall in the food court there.
Yeah.
They got a Dunkin' Donuts. That's the only place I've ever had. I mean, okay, maybe in New York too, but yeah. I've never seen a Dunkin' Donuts up here. No,
for sure. There had to have been, man.
But I think, I don't know if this is a publicity stunt.
Okay.
Much like what IHOP did a couple months ago when they dropped the P and replaced it with a B, IHOB.
Oh, yeah, for burgers, because that's
because they wanted to be International House of Burgers instead of International House of Pancakes.
Right.
And then a couple weeks later, they said, just kidding. We just wanted to do that to promote our burgers. Which
fair
is
enough,
fine.
It worked.
But Dunkin' Donuts says that after 68 years, they're dropping the name Donuts from their name. Dropping Donuts from the name, and they will move forward with only be known as Dunkin'.
Dunkin'?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dunkin'.
I don't know about that.
Which I don't know. That may be, I don't know if it's a publicity stunt, because they said they are trying to say... They are much more than donuts.
Yeah.
Right?
But you don't...
Is that like Weight Watchers just changed their name?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. To what?
To WW.
Yeah.
WW what?
No, just WW.
WW.
Who says WW?
For Weight Watchers.
Just say Weight Watchers.
Yeah, it's a rebrand.
Now
it's rebranding.
WW.
It's because I don't even... I think it's now even considered a microaggression to even say the word weight. Because
now they're a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Company.
It's everybody is shattering conventional beauty standards, and you're not allowed to say weight anymore. Like, you can't even reference weight. It's a wild ride, man. It is a wild ride. Somebody, you can't even call your thing Weight Watchers anymore. You can't do it. Dunkin', and I'm sure maybe because donuts make people fat. Right. And I would not put it past them if this is not, like, let's say that this Dunkin' Donuts taking donut out of their name, right?
Yeah.
Let's say that that isn't a publicity stunt like IHOP was for International House of Burgers. It wouldn't surprise me if they came back with market research that said that the word donut in your donut shop is hurting business, which is ridiculous.
But they've That's been why there for 68 years.
Yes. Yes.
That's like, a brand.
Yes.
Like Tim Hortons is now a bake shop.
Right, as opposed to a donut shop.
Because it's in their logo now, bake shop.
Bake shop, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
WW.
That one's surprising.
Yeah.
WW.
Yeah. First you hit up Dunkin', then you hit up WW.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, didn't I just read somewhere that they're doing, what's the other reality show that they're doing? Are they doing like a Munchkin version of Dancing with the Stars? Or was it called Junior version, I guess? Not Munchkin version.
That headline or that press release came out yesterday, right?
Yeah, with Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Yo, we've been talking about Honey Boo Boo for like 9 years. How old is that kid now? Like at least 18, right?
How old's Honey Boo Boo?
Or like 15?
She's got
it.
She has to be.
She had to qualify. She'd have to be like 15.
She has to be. Hold on here. Honey Boo Boo and Trip Palin. Who the hell's Sarah Palin's grandkid, I guess?
Wasn't that kid just born yesterday?
I
guess not.
For the first ever Dancing with the Stars Juniors. Right, I was wrong. It's not Munchkins.
Get the mini mirror ball trophy ready, they say. The cast of the first ever Dancing with the Stars Junior was revealed.
She's 13.
What's that?
She's 13.
13.
Oh, Boo-Boo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's what Wiki says.
Yeah. So Bristol Palin and Levi Johnson's son, Trip Palin. Scottie Pippen's daughter, Sophia. Blackish actor, Miles Brown. And Here Comes Honey Boo-Boo star, Alana Thompson. Each child will be paired with a junior competitive dancer, as well as a dance pro from the regular Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars Junior premieres Sunday, October 7th on ABC. Yeah. You gonna watch that?
I don't think so.
No, even for Honey Boo Boo, but you're like her biggest fan.
I can't watch kids do stuff, man. Not on TV.
Okay, well, hold on. The kids' baking shows are quite funny.
Yeah, no. I get it. But
I watched Dancing with the Stars. And it was on again, I think, last night.
Yeah.
Or two nights ago, sorry. I only wanted to see Grocery Store Joe from Bachelor, Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
He's terrible, by the way.
Is he?
Oh, so bad. Yeah. But I like the guy.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm down with a kid's version of Dancing with the Stars.
What would be the entertainment value in that?
Well, I have a hard time.
Dancing, I guess.
Yeah, I have a hard time rooting for a child because it's not my kid, right? Yeah, I'll root for my own kid.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
but I can root for somebody else's kid.
Yeah, I get it.
It's weird.
Also, 13, I mean, she's on the cusp, Honey Boo Boo, of not being a junior.
No, I think 13. No, I think you qualified 13. Yeah, 100%.
I say maybe the cutoff is like 16?
Yeah, I think that if they're all between, say, 12 and 15, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have a 14-year-old competing against an 8-year-old.
Yeah,
maybe you can.
I mean, it's not.
Maybe you can, for God's sake.
It's not like boxing weight classes.
No, right? I know you're right. It's dancing, for God's sake. What am I saying? It's unfair. Yeah, I guess it's not unfair at all. But yeah, so Dancing with the Stars Junior, if you're into that, October 7th.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
They did a poll and asked people to put a list together of the things that they feel are grossly overpriced. And then within that, the things that are grossly overpriced that they're still willing to pay for. What would you say? Good morning, Maury.
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you.
Mocha, what would you say falls under the list of grossly overpriced? I'll give you an example.
Sure.
Movie tickets. People feel are grossly overpriced.
Easily. I automatically think about food.
Food? Really?
Things that are grossly overpriced.
Like steak.
I'll tell you, food, not on, okay, movie theater popcorn.
Oh,
grossly
easily.
Overpriced.
Yes.
Okay. Health insurance, I guess, is a unit US. Gas is on the list of being grossly overpriced.
Yeah.
Car repairs.
Number two I was going to say on my list would be gas.
Car repairs too, though. I mean, I smashed up the back of my car. It's going to cost $2,000.
Concert tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
College tuition.
For sure.
Apple products.
Yeah, but
we still
pay the money for it.
Shoes.
Airline tickets.
Yeah, sneakers.
Right?
Shoes and clothing.
Wine at restaurants. That's the one that always gets me, where I can go in the store and buy a bottle of wine for $18, and then at a restaurant it's $250.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
I would say bottle service. Should be the number one thing on that list. Where you get off charging $300 for a $28 bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Because you're paying for what they call the quote-unquote experience.
Right, yeah.
Then anything's an experience, we're going to charge so much
but
more.
But bottle service may be the most grossly overpriced thing that has ever existed that people pay for.
I can't even tell you. One year we did bottle service at a club in Vegas.
Yeah.
And legit, the bottle that we got at the LCBO is, I believe, $48.
Yeah.
And at the club in Vegas, just the bottle. I'm not even talking about getting a booth in the club.
The couch rental.
Or
the
fee to get into the club.
The door fee and the couch rental are separate.
Just the bottle, $48 bottle at the LCBO of vodka, premium vodka. I think it was like Belvedere or something, right? It was like almost $300.
Yeah, $300. That's the markup on it.
Can we add other things like avocado?
Sure, you can add avocado. Hotel rooms, cable, Apple products. Now, they also say that we spend an extra
$229 a month on stuff that we think is overpriced, but we also think is worth it. Now, on that list, tell me if you agree with this. Expensive skincare products.
Oh, yeah. Face cream.
Yeah.
Good shoes.
Yes.
Good coffee.
Oh, yes.
I just spent $6 on a chai.
Good toothpaste.
Yeah.
And finally, the one thing that I fully, totally, and 100% agree, good toilet paper.
Oh.
Yeah, but... Okay,
you need it though. You need it. Listen, if you're gonna splurge on anything in your life,
yep,
you gotta splurge on that toilet paper.
That's why I steal the good stuff from the hotels.
Right. And if anybody's seen my tushy, you know that I've used a quality wiping product my whole life. I will not go if I have to use an inferior product. I will wait.
Until you get home?
Yep. What if you're at a restaurant? What do you do?
I've never pooped in a restaurant. Who poops in a restaurant?
Have I ever? I don't think I ever have.
There are some times where you have no choice.
No, there's not. There's never a time where I've had no choice. Never in my life have I been somewhere where I've had no choice. Never. Never.
And you know where the worst toilet paper is? Porta potties.
First of all, okay, I can't even talk to you right now.
Yeah.
I may ask you to leave the room.
Sure.
Okay, I was at an apple orchard. What am I going to do?
Leave early or hold it. Yeah. You only have two choices at that point.
I've never pooped in a porta potty. Ever.
No, so me neither.
That's why I'm more like never. The people.
I mean, and I've been fall over drunk at Lollapalooza.
And you still managed to hold it.
And I still managed to hold it.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Mocha, one time for the podcast. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do the news. Where is porta potty? Please.
What is the longest flight you can tolerate as a human sitting on an airplane?
5 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah. I can do 5 to LA. Anything after that, I'm done. I can't.
Okay,
do it.
Yeah.
Even going to London hurts too much.
Like LA or Vegas, anything like that.
Yeah.
I can do anything longer than that.
It's 5.5 to Portugal.
The first Airbus 350-900 ULR arrived in Singapore over the weekend as Singapore Airlines prepares to launch the world's longest flight. The journey between Singapore and New York City will run between October 11th, covering a distance of 16,700 kilometers and will clock in at 18 hours, 45 minutes.
Not chief. Nope. Absolutely not.
Do you know how many movies you'd have to watch on that flight?
You know what? Maybe we're not supposed to go between those two countries. Right? Maybe people in New York aren't supposed to visit Singapore. Maybe people in Singapore, just in general, maybe people in Singapore aren't supposed to visit New York for pleasure. I understand if you got to get out of there and you got to take a boat and you got to do all this other stuff. But that's too long on a flight.
18
hours and 45
minutes. What about them flights
to friggin'
Australia, though? This is like 24 hours, right?
No, this is longer. This is the longest nonstop flight.
Nonstop. Yeah,
this is nonstop in an airplane.
Once you're on that plane, you are not getting off for 18 hours.
The current title holder is straight up 18-hour nonstop journey between Qatar and Auckland, New Zealand. Six Flags Theme Park will offer $300 to anyone who can stay in a coffin for 30 hours.
What?
To celebrate this year's 30th annual Fright Fest down at Six Flags in St. Louis.
30 hours?
Is offering $300 to anyone who will spend 30 hours in a coffin, emerging only for a brief hourly bathroom break, they say.
That doesn't seem enough for 30 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it should be at least $3,000.
Right.
Like $300, you can get that doing a lot less nowadays.
And if more than one contestant makes it 30 hours, there will be a draw who will determine who will get the $300 at the end of it.
Like, what? Man, that's stupid.
Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly. And the foods most Americans know how to cook. So if they did a poll saying, hey, do you know how to cook this? And people either answered yes or no. So think simple foods here.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese is on the list, but like I'm assuming mac and cheese, they mean from a box.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Oh, you mean from like actual ingredients?
No, but mac and cheese is on here, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
But they mean from a box.
They mean from a box.
Hard boiled egg.
No, they're difficult. That involves timing.
Okay, scrambled eggs.
Yes, number one on the list.
Scrambled eggs?
Scrambled eggs, number one on the list. 63% of people said that they can make them. 37% said that they cannot. Hamburgers, number two on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Grilled cheese sandwich, number three on the list.
That's so tough, good. Man.
Mashed potatoes. Now, keep in mind that these are what foods can you make, not what foods can you make well.
Yeah.
Right?
Just in general. Like, yeah. All these foods people could probably make, but they probably suck.
Yeah, here's my thing is that why did they go all the way and say that they can make mashed potatoes, but not boiled potatoes, which are like three steps less than mashed potatoes?
Yeah, you have to boil them before you mash them.
Yeah, I can make a boiled potato. Rice. Rice is quite difficult, actually, if you don't know what you're doing. Again, it's about measuring
time. But I'm sure
timing.
They mean minute rice.
Steak.
Oh, that's easy.
53% of people said that they can cook a steak, but again, not well.
Yeah.
Pancakes or waffles?
Mm.
I'm assuming frozen in the toaster.
Like an Eggo.
Like an Eggo. Right.
No, but pancakes, you have to make the batter.
Right. And tacos, number 10 on the list. 52% of people said that they can make tacos. Again,
ground beef in a shell?
Yeah, but you're just buying a kit, right? Like you're not mixing your spices and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I can't see that. But yeah, number one on the list, the food that most people say that they can make is scrambled eggs. Because I guess they're broken anyway, right?
Sure.
Like, it's just, it's the bigger the mess, the all more scrambly they are.
All you have to do is monitor.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah. 4 to 5 people, they say, gain love weight in a relationship.
Oh,
here are the top reasons why. You take more Ubers or taxis together instead of walking places because you no longer go on walks holding hands.
Yeah.
You're less motivated to keep up your physique. How is that not number one? Like, people gain weight when you're in a relationship because you won. Right?
Hell yeah.
What do I got to look good for now?
And you're always going out eating.
Starting a family is number 6. Trying new foods at restaurants as a couple. Number 4, exercising less and spending more time together.
Truth.
3, staying home to eat and drink as opposed to going out. The other reasons why you gain love weight. Number 2, adopting a less active lifestyle.
Yep.
And number 1 is because you eat out more. So that's the number 1 reason why you gain that love weight.
Yep.
Did you gain love weight?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I haven't seen the inside of a gym.
Yeah.
You know me, I used to be like
swole.
Hardcore. Heavy at the gym.
Yeah.
4 days a week.
Sheesh.
I haven't stepped foot in the gym 1 week before Cruz was born.
Really, huh?
That was the last time I went to a gym.
And how old is he now?
17 months.
17 months.
17 months today.
I got the notice on my phone that my gym membership fee went through again this month. Not a word of a lie.
And you haven't stepped foot in the gym in, since what, like 1990?
$34 a month.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you're paying for it, can I just use it?
No. I might go back. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Catherine. She's like, why don't you cancel that? I'm like, I might go back.
No, I'm not saying to cancel. Can I just have the card?
No, because you can't get a gym membership for $34 anymore, so I'm not going to let it go.
Right, so let me use it.
No, I'm not going to. So I can't let it go. I haven't been to the gym since the last time I set foot in a gym was 2008.
2009.
For what?
2009.
Stop trying to be the man of
2008.
Sucking up to him.
Yeah,
get
2008.
That
2008 was the last time I worked out at a gym.
Dude, I'm spending hundreds on a gym and I could just have this from you.
I know. And
I'll
look
pay
at you. It's weird. Zero gains.
It's called love weight.
Beyonce's ex drummer is accusing her of extreme witchcraft.
Okay, what?
Beyonce's ex-drummer is accusing Beyonce of extreme witchcraft. Apparently, she drummed for Beyonce. Her name is Kimberly Thompson, and she was claimed to have played with Beyonce for 7 years. Beyonce's former drummer has requested a restraining order against Beyonce because she allegedly practices, quote, extreme witchcraft. The Blast reports that Kimberly Thompson claims Beyonce is using her magic to run surveillance and control her finances. Thompson also accuses Beyonce of murdering her cat and casting, quote, magic spells of sexual molestation against her. A judge denied Thompson's request for a restraining order.
Baycraft!
Baycraft! The cast of This Is Us is set to get huge pay raises for season 3. They will now be making, Milo, Mandy, Sterling, and Chrissy will now be making $250,000 per episode.
It premiered last night.
It premiered last night? No, I missed it?
Yep.
What do you tell me? I shouldn't blame you. You're not my TV guide. Why are you my TV guide? $250,000 per episode, which brings them each to $4.5 million per season. So now they're all making the same amount of money.
Wait,
now,
is this the last season or the one that...
Next season is going to be the last.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were not always making the same amount of money. For instance, in season 1 or when they first signed on, Milo was making $115,000 per episode, while Justin Hartley was making $75,000. $1,000 per episode, and Chrissy Metz was making $40,000 per episode.
Really? That's it.
That's it.
And now they're all making
$250,000.
I would say that that's fair because this show helped bring everyone up to kind of the same level and get that same kind of notoriety.
Yeah, right? I think that when you try and sell a show at the beginning, Milo and Mandy were the only two big names in the show.
For sure.
That anybody knew. And then the show created stars out of Sterling. I think Sterling's the biggest star on the show right now.
Yeah.
Sterling and Chrissy Metz and Justin Hartley. So yeah, I mean, it's very much an ensemble. Like it very, very much is.
And they all get what? Like about the same amount of TV time?
Yeah, I would say Mandy Moore gets the most because Mandy Moore plays herself younger and older. We're
spoiler alert, I haven't seen the show.
Oh, listen, I can't. Jack dies. Okay? Jack dies.
I don't know who that is, but I'm mad at you now.
Right.
Like, I am going to get around to watching This Is Us at some point.
You will?
Yes, yeah. I promise.
All right.
But spoiler alert, okay. Jack dies.
Jack dies. Where are we here? Oh, Bill Cosby, his star will not be removed from the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Really?
Even after protests and a petition. Because one thing I did not know is that no star has ever been permanently removed from the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Serious?
They say, yeah, they do not remove stars for the Walk of Fame, and they are intended to be permanent. The stars are only to commemorate the recipient's professional accomplishment. This from the Chamber of Commerce. It is regrettable when the personal lives of inductees do not measure up to the public standards and expectations.
But they're one and the same, though.
But they will not be removing Bill Cosby's star. It was defaced a little while ago where somebody had taken a black mark and wrote serial rapist on the front of it. Donald Trump's gets destroyed weekly, and they keep repairing it. It happened again, I think, yesterday. Somebody put bars over it, like prison bars over Donald Trump's.
Listen, it's going to continue to happen. There has to be a change. Someone's going to have to make that change.
Bill Cosby will do 3 to 10. His publicist was really talky out in front of the courthouse yesterday after Cosby's sentencing happened, blaming both sexism and racism for what took down the great, in his mind, Dr. Cosby.
I believe and think it is important to point out that this has been the most racist and sexist trial in the history of the United States. Dr. Cosby has been one of the greatest civil rights leaders in the United States for over the last 50 years. He has also been one of the greatest educators of men and boys over the last 50 years. This was not pointed out to the jury or allowed in court because the racist and sexist mass media was attacking and denouncing Dr. Cosby whenever his lawyers even hinted there was racist and sexism present. All three of the psychologists who testified against Dr. Cosby were white women who make money off of accusing black men of being sexual predators.
And Dr. Cosby is a lot of things. He's also quite possibly the most notorious serial rapist in the history of America. So there's that. 63 women, and we cannot forget Andrea Constat, the Canadian woman who brought this to trial and got this verdict for the 63 other women that have come forward, and I'm sure many more that have not.
I give him two years. 2 years in that jail before he dies.
Yeah, maybe. He's old, 81. It's a hard life in the joint. Monumental news yesterday for reality TV fans, specifically fans of Survivor. Survivor, and now I think it's like 37th or 38th season. And for fans here in Canada, they're massive Survivor fans.
Oh, huge.
And the people who produce Survivor know that Canadians are among the franchise's top fans. But there's always been one problem. And yesterday, Jeff Probst, host of Survivor, made everybody's dreams come true.
I am happy to say that finally, I can say to Canadians, you should apply to be on Survivor because you can be. For the first time ever, we're looking to have Canadians on the show. This is a big deal because Canada is like, you know, our brother and our sister in terms of viewership. The Canadians have been so good to Survivor and have for years said, when can we play? And we finally figured it out how to make it happen. And we are actively seeking Canadians to play Survivor. We're looking for you. Apply. Go to CBS.com. Wow. You'll figure it out if you want to be on the show, but it's the real deal. We're ready.
People went mental for that yesterday. They went crazy for that yesterday.
So after 36 seasons or 37 seasons, whatever, right? Yeah. How is it that it took this long to allow Canadians to be on Survivor.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons.
Like the ratings for Survivor in Canada are massive.
Massive.
You would have.
Yeah.
You'd think that this would have happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
5 years even into the show.
Yeah, I don't know if there's one specific reason, but I know that that was from they did that on ET Canada yesterday, and I think that everybody was just so overjoyed with the prospect of being on Survivor that doesn't matter anymore. Like the why couldn't we for 37 seasons?
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you have answer for that?
No, but I was going to ask you. Do you think this will change now with this for other shows? Like maybe Canadians can finally get on Big Brother and other shows.
Well, it's the same company. They're both CBS. Shows, right?
Yeah. So maybe this is opening the door.
So yeah, possibly. But that's exciting. That's huge news for Survivor nerds up here. How kids are bypassing the screen time limits on the new iPhone iOS.
Uh-oh.
And this happened late. It happened so lightning fast, and kids are so smart. So you're allowed to limit now. You can put screen time limits on your phone. So if your kid is messing around on your phone and watching YouTube and playing games and whatnot, they have already figured out how to bypass this. One story that I read recently, this was from his 7-year-old son. So okay. The guy's kid figured out that if you go if you run out of screen time,
yes,
where it's like, sorry, you can't play your game anymore, you can go into the app store and go under the list of apps that are deleted off the phone but still on the cloud.
Yeah.
If you download an old game that has been deleted off the phone but exists on the cloud, so you have at one time already downloaded it, once you download that game, it doesn't play by the same screen time rules.
Because you have to activate that rule
for that game. You have to activate that rule for that game.
You freaking smart ass kids.
7 years old. Another kid did this. So what they do is they go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Then they iMessage themselves the YouTube video that they want to watch. And then they watch the video through iMessage, not on the YouTube app.
Because you can open videos directly in iMessage and just watch it there, so you don't have to leave iMessage.
So what they're doing is they're just sitting in iMessage watching YouTube. So they'll just go on YouTube and iMessage themselves all the videos they want to watch, and then just sit there on the iMessage app and watch for an infinite amount of time.
27-minute unboxing video. Yeah,
exactly.
Can I just say a quick message to my brother Daniel? Yes. Everything Roz is saying will not work on your phone.
No, it will work on your phone. Have at it, little man. Have at it.
No.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Ask Roz and Mocha. Here we go. A podcast exclusive, and we love the questions that we get on a weekly basis. Every Wednesday, we're going to post a picture that simply states, Ask Roz and Mocha at Kiss925, and you get to ask whatever you want. We'll try our best to get through every single question. But the one thing that will remain the same is we'll get somebody on the phone with us to ask us their question live.
Right, which is always the best part, that you guys get to be a part of this as well.
How are you, Andrew?
Good, how you doing?
Good, man. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha podcast.
Thanks.
How old are you, Andrew?
I'm 27.
27. What's your life like? You married? Are you single?
Well, I am recently single.
Gotcha. Okay, Andrew, so what is your question?
So I was wondering if you guys had any advice on how to get over an ex when you are pretty much forced to see them on like a weekly basis.
What do you mean forced to see them on a weekly basis?
So I am part of an axe throwing league.
Right.
And that is where I met her.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry, I missed that. You're part of a what?
Axe throwing league, Mocha. You wouldn't know. It's man stuff.
Axe throwing. Shut off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing that for about 2 years, and then she joined the league, and we kind of hit it off.
Yeah.
And then it was good for pretty much the honeymoon phase.
Okay.
And then after that, we were getting into a bunch of arguments, and it just kind of wore out for me.
Okay. How long were you guys in the relationship together?
We were only about 8 months.
Eight months. What kind of stuff were you fighting about?
It was just little stuff, right? Like, we would just get into all those little kind of like naggy. There was a little bit of a distance relationship. It was about 40 minutes between us.
Okay.
And because of my job and her job,
we were kind of on different schedules, which I'm used to. That's kind of been my dating life, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got to fit in that axe throwing, right?
Exactly, right? Axe throwing life. I throw twice a week, right? So it's pretty much my social. When I'm not working, I'm throwing axes.
Okay, so your question is, how do you get over a breakup when you have to see the person every week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough. My advice for somebody who's going through a breakup is always the same thing, which is at least out of the gate and for a period of time, it needs to be a clean break, meaning you got to unfollow them on social. It has to be a clean break. You can't still have a little bit of ties. You can't be checking up on them. You can't do all that stuff. Now, that can change over time, but at the initial stage of a breakup, it's got to be a clean break because you have to grieve. And I don't mean to sort of overplay the emotional, you know, aspect of breaking up. I know nobody died, but there is a grieving process. Mm-hmm. Somebody is now out of your life who was in your life and probably meant a lot to you while they were there. So there's a grieving period that needs to happen. If you're forced to see them every week, nobody's forcing you, first of all, to go to axe throwing. You enjoy it. It's your social life, but you have an option to go or not if it's really bothering you that much. Do you guys talk when you see each other, or are you literally just sitting there watching your ex throw axes with other dudes?
It's a very social thing. So we're always kind of talking, and I'm actually the one who broke up with her.
Okay.
And I've been told through the grapevine that she still wants to get back together and thinks that everything can work out and we can get over that. But I'm not sold on it.
Right. Oh.
So if you're not sold on getting back together with her and you only have to see her twice a week, this might be one of those situations where you just have to deal with it. Like, if you're not into the relationship anymore and you can't see a future with her, then you might be able to get over it a lot quicker than, let's say, she would.
Yeah.
Just don't ever do what I did when I broke up with my first and only ever other boyfriend,
which is what?
Mail a letter to the parents saying thank you for a wonderful 6 months.
Oh, God. Oh God. So weird. Yeah, don't do that.
No, definitely not.
Jesus. When you guys are throwing axes, do you ever talk?
We talk, like, casually, like, when we go out for a smoke or, like, if we're facing each other.
Yeah.
Then we will, but...
And what do you talk about?
Just life, like how's work and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. She just started a new job pretty much when we broke up, so... Yeah.
But you don't necessarily have to talk to her, right?
No, but I would suggest, yes, that you should. Otherwise, you're going to just make things even more weird.
But you said you need a grieving process, like you were suggesting he leave axe throwing.
No. I mean, I'm saying you don't have to. I'm saying you could leave axe throwing if it bothers you that much. But I'm saying that when you do, if you do not want to do that, then you are put in a position where you're going to be in the same room together. And I would say keep whatever conversations you have, keep them light, keep them normal. Don't lie, as in, you know, oh my God, my life is so awesome. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. And don't talk about the past.
Yeah.
You know, and try not to reestablish something. So you can have sort of surface conversations and you can be cordial and you can be normal. And that may help normalize the interactions where maybe in the next time you go out for a smoke, you could have a laugh together, but it's not a laugh that she may interpret as leading to you guys getting back together. I think that it's up to you because you're the one that dumped her. You know, if she still has those feelings, that you're going to have to, one, normalize the situation, and two, the idea that you're not willing to get back together with her may at some point really need to be articulated. Otherwise, any sort of form of communication, you even just showing up there sometimes, could give her hope that maybe that this thing may work and that you just may need time. So I think that you need to be clear on what your feelings are.
And what my intentions are.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
And then send a letter to her family.
And then send a letter. Yeah. I have Maury's number now, so if I need any hints or suggestions,
please,
I'll always text them.
Yes.
Andrew, we appreciate you listening to the Roz and Mocha Show. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
No problem, guys. Thanks very much. Been listening for about 2.5 years now. Absolutely love you guys. Oh, listen to every episode of the podcast. Huge fan, and I'll continue to listen.
But who do you love more between Roz and Mocha?
I knew you were going to ask me this question, and I have a solid answer.
Okay.
It is 100% Mocha.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And there is a reason behind this, because I know Roz always gets super offended and his feelings get hurt.
Oh, you should see his face right now.
So a while back, you guys were talking about back when Roz got his license.
Yeah.
And he is all for just cruising at 120 in the passing lane.
No, I'm not. I don't
and
know.
And that is
happened.
My biggest pet peeve.
No, listen, yeah. Dick. I never said that. I never said that. That's not the story became that, but that's not actually what I said.
Yeah, honk honk, get out of my way.
Yeah, no, that's not what I said.
If you get passed on the right, you're too far to the left.
You
that's
shut
my
your
rule.
You stop it. I like this guy. No, I don't.
I'm giving you mad fist bumps through the phone, Andrew.
I hope your ex hooks up with somebody who looks just like you, only hotter.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, like an axe to the heart.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
Later, man.
Right on. There was another driving one that somebody sent through on these cold.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Sorry. Maury always blows the sneeze away. Where's the other driving question that was on here?
Oh, what would your vanity license plate be?
No, well, oh, just
Kayla.
That one.
Kayla sent that in.
I have
to us.
A vanity license
Maury
plate.
Maury has a vanity license plate.
Which what? I don't understand. What does
I,
it
well,
say?
I tried for three, but mine is Smart 86, which is after my favorite show, Get Smart, but I really wanted.
But what's 86?
That was his agent number, but my other vanity plate, like if I didn't do that, I wanted it to be My Maddie.
Excuse me. My Maddie is in your Matthew, your husband.
Yeah,
right?
My Maddie. Yeah. Oh.
My Maddie.
If you had a vanity license plate, Roz. What
first
would
of all,
it
I
read?
Wouldn't do it because I'm not a douche. Sorry, Maury. No, if I had a vanity license plate. That stuff, I think that's carryover from when you're a kid. Because when you're a kid, you used to see all these real cool license plates. You'd be like, man, if I ever got my license, I would. And I don't really recall like what I would have done. Probably if you asked me when I was a kid if I got a car, what my vanity license
Duke?
Plate would be, it would be like Conan Rules, you know? or Porky's. Right? Like, it would have been one of those. But as an adult, I really have no...
Yours
I really
could
have
be
no,
never single.
No, I really have no affinity to...
if I had one
a license
now,
plate.
It would be the same one if you were to ask me in 1997.
Which was what?
NWO for life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if anybody has that.
NWO for life?
Yeah.
Someone.
I'm sure somebody has NWO for, and just NWO for anybody who doesn't understand, that's the, what is it, New World Order from...
Act like you don't know, from wrestling.
From wrestling.
Come on.
You have to use a number for, because F-O-R, it wouldn't fit.
No, I know.
Where's the other driving one that was on here that I saw that I wanted to talk about? Oh, here. Are you a car performer? And, what are your go-to music selections for your performances? Mocha, are you a car performer?
Absolutely. And anytime I'm going to belt out anything,
yeah,
it will always be from the era of 90s hip-hop and R&B.
Right.
So it would be Jay-Z, Biggie, Nas, Wu-Tang, Tribe Called Quest. Anything from that era of hip-hop would be the stuff that I would be able to recite no problem.
All right, Maury?
Oh, I absolutely. You've seen me sing in the car.
I know, it's terrible.
The Mamma Mia soundtrack.
No, my absolute favorite thing to say is Walking in Memphis or any like 80s thing or something, Lady Gaga, like the stuff I know the words to.
You don't know the words to anything, though, Maury?
Nothing.
Hold on.
How about you, Ross?
Well, because I just recently got my license, right?
Yeah. Like a year and a half? Almost 2 years. No, a year and a half now.
Yeah, a year and a half now. And so my thing is this, is that I don't play any music in the car. I had one rule when I got my license, because I got my license in my 40s. And I have one rule in the truck, which is I don't play anything in the truck.
Why?
That would not have existed when I would have been 16 and got my license. So I only play songs in the truck from 1990 and earlier.
Really?
So it's as if I'm 16. So I only play music in the truck that would have been available to me when I was 16 and got my license. So nothing, there's not one song has been played in my truck that is past 1990.
That's so
not
weird.
One thing. Yeah, so I only play songs 1990 and earlier, which is the music that would have existed when I was 16. Never, never before in the car while driving have I played something that existed after 1990.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah, so it's all just like retro, but everything. Like I have like access to everything. I have all the satellite stuff and my phone stuff and everything in the
truck.
But
you only stick to
pre-1990.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, try it.
That's really interesting.
Try it. You should. You may like that. What movies make you cry, no matter how many times you watch it?
13 going on 30.
With precision.
Wow. Why, what is it about that movie?
Oh, just she tried so hard to just succeed at the magazine, and then somebody went against her and stole everything.
Is that Jennifer Garner?
Jennifer Garner, yeah. Oh, my God, I love
Garner,
that
not Garter.
Wow, a wheeze and a snort.
Yeah. You sound like a stuck pig.
Wow. You know, it's a good day when you get a wheeze in a snort.
I can't remember the last movie that that made me cry, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think.
Well, the last movie that made me cry was the Lady Gaga one, A Star is Born.
Yeah?
Oh, I had to sit in the theater for like about 10 minutes after it ended to wipe my tears.
If you were guaranteed to be successful in a different profession, what would you do?
Ooh, guaranteed?
Guaranteed to be successful in a different profession. What would you do? I have a very easy answer for this right out of the gate.
Same.
Lottery winner?
Nope. That's not a profession, first of all, Maury. That's why you're broke. Because you play the lottery like it's your job. My answer is so easy.
Okay.
If I could be successful in any other profession,
yeah,
what would it be?
Yeah. Oh, a Woody.
Golf.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Golf.
Sure.
I can play it way into my 60s.
Yeah.
You make a ton of money. You're only in beautiful places. And for the most part, you're alone.
I thought you'd say carpenter.
Nope. Golf. 100% golf.
If I had to choose a profession, wrestler.
You see, you risk of injury though, bro.
Okay, fine. Photographer.
There you go.
There.
Yeah.
Photography.
Sure. Yeah.
How about you, Damon Mori?
Two voiceover, like movie trailer voice guy.
Yeah. In a world.
Yeah.
Or driving a subway.
What makes a successful subway driver? Like your accident record, or what would that be?
I guess just pushing the door buttons at the same time successfully.
You're the only person I know, Maury, where when somebody says, hey, what would your dream job be? You pick two jobs where you'd probably make less than what you make now. Like, what a dingbat. Who says something like that?
I used to always be fascinated by the subway driver.
Celine says, would you ever put mayo on your pizza?
No.
And then in brackets, it's a Quebec thing. That's gross. Disgusting. Absolutely not.
I do love mayo. I put mayo on fries.
You know, mayo is egg.
Yeah. I put mayo on fries. Mayo on fries is the greatest thing in the world. I put mayo on burgers.
Yeah. I don't think I could put mayo on a pizza though.
No.
Mayo in the slit of a celery is the best.
First of all, no. Never, ever, 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 ever again, Maury, say slit of a celery.
That sounds okay? So gross.
It sounds so gross. And I know it's a normal thing, but when you say certain things, it just sounds so gross. Slit of a celery. Yeah, no. What else do people put in celery? I don't like celery. I think
peanut butter. Yeah.
Celery to me is foul tasting food.
Maybe within the last like 2 years, stopped liking celery.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know 99% why. Water.
Yeah.
I don't like celery so anymore.
It's such a bitter, nasty.
Deborah has a question regarding one of the Razamoka original games that we play.
Okay.
Deborah says, so do you guys use new clothespins for the game Pinched, or is it the same ones from the game before? If so, there's some cross-contamination going on.
So,
because the clothes pegs will pin them like ears, nipples,
nose,
mouth, inside the mouth.
Yeah. So Pinched, by the way, is a trivia game we play with Mocha versus Maury, where in front of them they have just a big stack of old school wooden clothes pegs. And if you get a question wrong, your opponent gets to pinch you with a clothes peg. So they just literally place a clothes peg somewhere on your body. And that's a very good question, because I don't see what goes on over there when you guys are playing. Do you recycle the clothes pegs from game to game?
I also have a question.
Yeah.
Because when the game is done, Damon Mori is responsible for taking all those clothes pegs and discarding the ones that were used. However, now that Deborah brings this up, every single time we play the game and Mori brings in the bag, it doesn't look like there are less clothes pegs than when we started playing this game.
Do you throw out the clothes pegs that are used in that round, or what do you do with them?
Put them back in the bag and put them in my locker.
Oh my God.
That is so gross.
Yeah, but it's too late now. We've already contaminated.
Wow. Wow. And they're wood, which means they absorb.
Oh no!
It's not even like it's plastic.
That is so gross!
That's like sharing a toothpick. That is like sharing a toothpick. That's like you have something in your teeth and you pick it out, and then Maury's like, oh yeah, give me that for a second. I got something in mine.
I'm trying to think of all the places I've ever stuck a clothes peg on Damon Mori.
You've gone to his nipple.
And there's so much hair there.
And you've done armpit hair.
Oh my God, there's even more
hair.
You've
done
there.
The inside of the ear.
Oh, all the hair.
The nose.
Oh, my God.
And then that one went in your mouth.
There's so much hair in Dan
and
Moore's
so
mouth.
Close to your eye.
Oh, ah, God, gross. Yeah, that's right. Oh.
We got to play Pinch next time. So next week on the podcast, we'll get a game of Pinch in for you. So all this will make sense. And hopefully we can do it with brand new clothes pegs. When was the last time you were snooping and found something you wish you hadn't?
Oh, jeez.
Let's call Maury's husband Matthew for this one.
You know what? I don't snoop.
Can I go back? Snoop. I mean, snooping when I was a kid, I snooped in my dad's bedroom and opened a drawer once.
Yeah, and what did you find?
VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah. Like your dad's porno?
Yeah, and if you watched, you'd have to find the exact spot and put it back at that spot.
If you watched. What do you think? We don't know how to watch our dad's porno?
So you watch.
Yeah, and then you have to rewind it to the exact moment.
Yeah.
Did Frank ever find out?
Hell no.
No.
Should we call him?
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. You can't do this, dude. You can't make Maury talk to his dad about his porno.
Are you sure?
Oh, God. Do you want to talk to your dad about your porno?
No.
Okay. All right. Next week on the Roz and Mocha podcast.
All right. Thank you, everybody. That was so wonderful. Good. This is, and I know that we say this every week, but the Ask Roz and Mocha section of the podcast, it is my favorite. We love all of your questions and that you guys play along and you take part and you're active and we really, really appreciate it. So until next time.
We're going to post again on Instagram at Kiss925. Ask Roz and Mocha. At that point, when you ask your question, you may join us on a future episode. And don't forget, as soon as you're done listening to this episode of the podcast, please give a rating, give a review. We would love it wherever it is you get your podcasts from.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss925.
Kiss925.com
or on the Kiss925 app.